Blog Talk Radio.
Psychic X Journey Man here on Psychic X Journey Man's Spiritual Link Talk Radio, here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. If you're in the chat room, if you have a question you'd like to ask us, feel free to do so. It'll be great. We can answer questions in the chat room, but if you want to get a reading, we urge you to call in. And that number is 646-721-9031. And for private readings, call us at 740-500-8863, or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com, which information will be put in the chat room if you want to get that. Our April special is 3 90-minute sessions for $100 or 5 30-minute sessions for $100, so call now. Make an appointment. Also, the situation, if you go to the website, you'll see a lot of things on there. Those are just places to start. So if you have a different kind of budget, whatever your budget is, just give us a call. I guarantee we can work with you. You see, we have people in the chat room. Bright, hello. I think it's Terry. We had someone pop in briefly, but never had a chance to really say hi to them. They were gone. Let's see. We have Heather with us tonight, I think.
I'm here. Brooklyn.
There you go. So how are you tonight?
Oh, chipper.
Well, that's good.
I'm just
like good chipper, chipper.
I'm steeping some black cherry tea and oh yeah, quite lovely.
That's like the cow finds his girl hole, huh?
Yes. I don't want to sit in the closet. You know what I mean? Sorry, I will settle down.
Well, that's okay.
I always feel like I'm a little overzealous.
Mm-hmm. Here's a topic for you.
Huh?
No, here's a topic for you. I just saw this. They actually made another Romeo and Juliet movie.
Did they really? Which one? What's it called?
Called Romeo and Juliet.
Oh. Okay.
Exactly. It's no. Classified as the most romantic play ever written.
Really?
Actually, yeah, it was like when you saw it, it was a movie called Shakespeare in Love, and it was actually prompted. But we got into an argument with the Queen, I think it was. The idea could there actually be true romance that you could actually write, not lust? And wanting the true love. And he wrote Shakespeare. Actually, we're talking about the idea. It was a true story, too. But it was supposed to be something else. It was supposed to be like a story written about captains and ships and stuff. And it turned out to be a romantic story, which was also supposedly the way it goes. It was supposed to be motivated by a romance that he was into as well. You ever seen Shakespeare in Love?
Yes. Are you kidding? You're talking to a hopeless romantic here. Of course I've seen Shakespeare in Love.
It's a good movie. It's the ideal situation and looking at how we could look at past lives for people and understand that back in those days, position, stature, were things that people honored quite a bit to the point where they're making decisions. And that in this lifetime, we don't have those kind of restrictions. So therefore, we can actually have what we want. And it's amazing how people are actually still compromising.
Yeah.
As you can see what the ideal path was, right?
Anyways, can we just different subjects?
I'll just say, with the situation, it helps us understand the past lives. It can help us in this lifetime with the things that we're still hanging on to because we're talking about the ideal manifestation.
All right.
They made this movie about Romeo and Juliet. And actually, I've seen the trailer. I just saw a trailer of this Romeo and Juliet movie. It's really true to the form. It's like I remember back in when I was in high school that we actually went to a movie theater in Columbus and saw the original Romeo and Juliet movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I took my kids to go see the play.
Yeah, it's intense. It's the ideal. Some of the things that are written in that freaking thing about the ideal, taking Romeo when he died, as what she calls him, putting him in the heavens. He said, I guess she was saying he was such a beautiful person as you would, you know, basically create him and make him into stars. So therefore, everybody would love the knight and what he represented to her.
I guess we have a little festival going on down on the street, down on the avenue. Sorry, it's kind of loud. I'm standing in my kitchen, which is at the back of my house, and I can hear it clear out on the front.
Yes, usually my windows are open, but not tonight.
Oh. Well, it's further down this way, so I don't know what it is. It sounds like lots of fun, though. People hooting and hollering. I guess maybe they're excited about love,
baffled.
Too. Huh?
The reason I was baffled, what kind of festival could it be?
I don't know. People just having fun, hooping and hollering.
Oh,
yeah,
so it's just a bunch of drunks in the bar, right?
I tell you, there is so much in this area. This area, people are drawn to Manitou. Drawn to the energy here.
Yeah, we get people from all walks of life and all countries, too, as well.
Oh, yes. Excited about it.
I never saw so many. Oh, yeah. I was listening to the other day talking about Emma Crawford. And somebody was sitting there talking about where they felt like if she knew what was going on, she'd be appalled by the whole thing. I said, well, from what I've heard, no.
I don't think so either. I think she was a very outgoing woman.
Yeah, just because we hear these reserved stories doesn't mean she was reserved.
Well, the story goes that Emma Crawford was a lady, and she moved out here from out east, I believe New York, and she was very sick, and she moved to Manitou to drink the waters here, you know, the natural spring waters, because they were to be healing. And so they moved here, and I guess she had... Now, I thought her home was on Ruxton, but I've heard several different things, but that's not where it was. Anyway, she would sit out on her front porch, and she would look up at Red Mountain and was just absolutely in love with the mountain. And so she said, I'm going to hike that mountain. I'm going to hike all the way up to the top of that mountain. Well, being as sick as she was, her whole family said, no, you can't do that. Well, of course, you know, you can't tell her no. That's why I say she's a very strong woman. And so she hiked that mountain against everybody's wishes, against their advice, and hiked the mountain, hiked all the way to the top, and came back down and told her sweetheart, whom she never got to marry. They were only engaged. And she told him, when I die, I want to be buried at the top of Red Mountain. And so, you know, the day came that she died, and he trudged with her casket up to the top of Red Mountain and buried her. Well, it was about 30 years later that the city of Manitou decided to move her. So they just, you know, dug up her grave or dug up her coffin and moved it, I don't know, so many yards away and reburied it and built a platform at the top of Red Mountain. Well, it was I believe that month or a couple months later, they had a horrific set of snow or rainstorms come through, and it washed up mm-hmm. her coffin, and it came racing down the mountain, which is why we have the coffin races. So mm-hmm. that's how the story goes. Anyways, I will shut up now.
It also says she has a tendency to visit.
Yes, well,
she also had a phobia, too. She didn't want to be buried in a cemetery. She thought appalling that people, you know, people in cemeteries and that kind of stuff, what it represented, that she won't be buried there. And what people have been saying now, that she probably really ticked off. That's the one thing she's irritated about, because she's actually buried in a cemetery, from what I've heard.
It is such a beautiful cemetery, though.
Put it up there.
We drove by there. Oh, my gosh, I actually started crying, because there's a lot of joy over there. It's very peaceful and very happy. And there are spirits there. I can feel them. And I just, mm-hmm. I got really choked up because there is peace there. So, but that is where she's buried. Well, I've heard
that's
that
true
she
too,
really sent you. And
I'm just saying, we look at the situation, why she won't be buried up on Red Mountain. There's certain things that she didn't disclose to everybody in the process of what she saw, felt when she was at the top. That's why she decided she won't be buried in a cemetery. She wanted to live forever. Well, it seems like, you know, if you look at the situation, that's still what's happening, and the situations of people keep repeating the stories and that kind of stuff, and the idea of the incident itself. Now we have coffin races, and no one will ever forget about her. So in some sense of the word, she did accomplish the idea of immortality. Holy mackerel. How do you feel about that one, huh?
I know. Well, I think the story gets twisted and turned. Now, that's the story as I read it. So, you know, it's like operator. One person
mm-hmm.
will tell the next person something, and by the tenth person, you've got a totally different story. So it's hard to say. You know, the story of Patsy is the same way. It's all it's rumor.
Mm-hmm. No, that's what they always say. By the time it gets back to you, you're trying to go, okay, I think that it's almost like a different story when you hear it again. That was true.
Let me tell you.
Yeah?
Sorry, I just took a sip of my black cherry tea, and it's so yummy. And it smells divine. Okay. I got excited. All right. How are we going to talk about manifesting? I get to manifest things.
Well, you manifested the ideal of being at home. Being comfortable and drinking your tea.
I did, didn't I? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else can we manifest? Well.
We could all get a hold of all like-minded people that actually focus on the same thing that we're focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing it as a reality, we could actually manifest something that's something we've been focusing on quite a lot of the last week.
Okay.
That we would say our benefit. We'll just put it under the title of metaphysical community.
Oh, I was just thinking the same thing. I was, and you're referring to, well, I have to be careful. You told me not to focus on it so much, though.
No, but you can send out intentions of the situation. I did this one time before when I was with this one lady. And what we did was, we wanted to manifest the idea of winning the lottery. So what we did was, you know, children have a way of, when you tell them something, they go right into mode. They don't think about it. So
right.
We told them we already won the lottery, but it was going to take a couple of months before they got everything situated, before we would get it. So I told them, you know, whatever you guys, you should focus on what you guys do want. So we figured that three kids putting the energy in this whole thing of just focusing on what they wanted to the point where they've actually gone to the point of really getting into it very detailed about what they wanted, and that we could actually use that energy, focus on the positive, what we saw, and then let the universe do the rest of the whole thing. And I really felt like we were going to win the lottery, but it also is like one of those analogies that shows you that when one person doesn't work along with you, and the fear that it might actually happen. I mean, this is the person who needs to talk to me all the time and say, the idea of being with you is the idea of seeing miracles happen every day. That was her exact words. So the idea of seeing her jump ship at the midstream on this whole freaking thing could only really point to one thing. She was even looking for people to help her sabotage the whole thing by using them as an excuse for why she did what she did. So we focused,
now,
and I felt like we were so close to
Well, the thing is, as far as, like, winning the lottery, you have, when you have the children, you know, figuring out what they want, you don't have to win the lottery to get the things that they want. Oh, my goodness sakes, I have a lovely sofa set sitting here. Do you know how much I paid for it? $60 in gas. That was
Oh, I know that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying with the situation, that family needed to deal with things in a different way. Because the time you try to teach them something, it was like they would always come up with a different way of approaching it anyway. My thing was, I was reading this in Dr. Wayne Dreyer's book. It's like the ideal. He says, it's amazing how Christians want to tell you about all things and everything is going to happen and kind of stuff, but you really cannot experience it until you experience it. And that was the thing of the situation here was the idea of pointing out to these children and the idea of what they could do, that after putting all those things together, I felt like when it did happen, then we could take it the next step, and the idea of showing them what they could do with it. Because even people, I've seen this before too, about people winning the lottery, they still have a tendency to keep themselves in, you know, limitation, lack of limitation. They start thinking about things they want to get, at the same time they're still focusing on things they might have to let go of. Not realizing if you focus on the wants, the needs, the desires, and the idea of keep going forward and just putting them all together and keeping your intentions focused and keeping your mind clear and focus on nothing but positive, those things that they think they're going to have to get rid of, they'll happen anyway, but they'll understand it wasn't the idea of letting go of anything. It was selection. You focused and made a commitment to be happy, to be positive, to change your life in a positive way. You're going to have to let go of certain things, but in selection, when you're focused on the other, the part that they think they're letting go of, it just happens naturally, like it always happens throughout our whole lives. There's a lot of things we've never even thought about that were pretty much in the same category. It shows you how much fear can make you hang on to things that you need to let go of.
You know, fear is actually a lack of trust, a lack of faith. And believe me, this is something that I'm still learning. A lot of this stuff is. And that's why I mention it. I'm not afraid to mention it on here, because if we're all still learning, and we all know that everybody is still learning, even masters that are here on the earth are still learning and still have even trouble with drama, then, you know, we're all still human. Anyways, oh, dear.
Well, it's also the idea of realizing what drama is. Drama is just a situation that's emotional. Well, it doesn't mean, well, I'm just saying drama. I also had an affirmation where you're focusing on, I'm releasing all the negative drama in favor of the positive drama. People kind of freak out. They think, I was talking to my mom about one thing before, and it was talking about a cult. Realistically, the word itself in the dictionary means a religious sect. It doesn't specify one way or the other, evil or good or whatever. It's the idea of a cult. It's a religious sect. Because we've seen those sides of the story, right?
They share an idea. They share all the same idea, and they're a community. That's pretty much the definition of a cult. And it is usually surrounded by religious beliefs.
Religious rules, regulations, and limitations.
It's something that we have all been trained to believe is a bad thing. And honestly...
Oh, no, I understand the thing, Carlos. I was talking to my mom, and she's just freaking out crazy, going nuts. You know, no. Cold is bad. You know something? I think I'm inclined to believe her. even the religious ones have a tendency to put a, you know, we've had certain, what was that? It was a couple of mass suicides that wasn't based on devil and devil worshiping and that kind of stuff. It was actually based on Christian beliefs. So, you know, when you look at a situation like that, I mean, how do they explain those things? You know, these are the ones that tackle those situations at all. And it's kind of amazing, like we said before, how they have a tendency to see the worst in everyone. At the same time, they're taught not to judge. At the same time, if they're talking to you, I think it's what people have a lot of ties with. This is a contradiction. You're saying you shall not judge, but here you are saying I'm a bad person. Based on what? I mean, do you really see that within me? And if you do, the reason I have a tough time with you right now is because if you see the worst in me, then who are you? If that's all you can see.
And another thing is, okay. Confessions here, but then it also goes back to what they see in themselves. People who judge other people is what they see in themselves.
They're being judged. So they were judged and they pass it on, which makes perfect sense because if someone approached them in the same way, in the same manner they're approaching me, I just choose to break the pattern and say, thank you, that's great, that's awesome, but why don't you give me time to let it resonate with me and how I feel about the whole thing, and I'll get back with you. But they have a tendency to want to push things. And I've all, which is kind of, to me, it's borderline a cult kind of thing. Because it's actually a proven fact that people who have cults have a certain method. What they'll do is they deprive you of protein. Protein will deprive your brain, and you will actually be in a state of confusion. So therefore, you're very open and receptive to brainwashing. So it's the ideal of telling somebody constantly over and over again. And that's another thing, too. They also, cults have a tendency, the ones that are the ones who have a tendency to control the masses with what they believe, they have a tendency to do the same with the depriving of proteins. They hit you with a lot of subjects. They're constantly telling you you're not worthy. And they also give you a solution, which always has to do with who they are. And the ideal, they have the solution. So it's kind of crazy that they actually have a method to do exactly what they're doing at the same time. I think there are some Christian people out there that are kind of frustrated with the whole situation too as well, of how can I actually get across to these people. It says in the Bible, free will, and the idea of the situations of certain things, you know, give the message. Because if you say, I was talking about this before too, I was looking at the section on Jesus. Jesus never forced anybody to do nothing. He never told you that if you don't do certain things, you're going to hell. I remember reading the Bible on certain things that he talks about. The only time you ever see him really get angry is when he feels like people are defacing the temple, and he kind of like took it personal. But from there on, you just see a person who just gives a message and basically says, by your faith and basically by the situations and how they fall into place, you can always see the truth. The truth is the ideal love in itself. And I guess a lot of people don't understand. If you come to me in a critical, negative way, I'm going to see you as a person that's not a person who is non-loving compared to a person that's going to be before. And we have a place here in town, too, as well. I'm not going to mention them by name. But they have a very nice establishment, and they're closed on Saturdays. Anyway, we won't mention who they are, but I've actually had a couple of people come to me and complain because they told people outside their establishment that they didn't appreciate them and their teachings because they said, that's our job to help those people. I don't believe anybody has the right to dictate where a person goes or even the idea of telling a person they can't talk and communicate, and as it says, in all forms of communication of the Bible itself, it always says communion is very important. I think communion is more about sharing instead of actually establishing a church or a group. The one thing I've always found the hardest about these groups and these occults is the idea of most of the people that are in these situations and are getting into these cults are looking to find themselves. That's why I feel like, in some sense, where my mission is to tell people, stop looking for yourself and start accepting yourself for who you are. Okay? But it seems that, but you don't hear that with certain religions. It's constantly, you're in the wrong, you're unworthy, you're separated from the whole. You know, the whole thing constantly denouncing you, making you feel unworthy, which actually sends a nice rippling effect across the whole freaking country, life, whatever, in a situation. Those people always putting themselves in a situation of lack of limitations and always think they have to compromise. You know, in a situation.
Yeah. It is very frustrating. Well, because I was very, very deep in my religion. That I'm not going to explain which one it was. But anyways, I was not worthy to be in this position or that position because my husband was not part of everything. And so therefore, I was not worthy to hold certain positions or do certain things. And that was very frustrating and hurtful. And then when I got a divorce, it was like, oh my gosh, now I'm really not worthy. Now according to the Bible, you know, I'm worthless almost, because any man who were to marry me after were both adulterers according to the Bible. And that was hurtful. Mm-hmm. I thought, how can a God who is supposed to be loving and be my father tell me such horrible things? It was really hard for me to accept all of that. So it just doesn't work for me because I don't see my God, my creator, my father as that person, that spirit, that being. He's not. He's more loving than that. And I don't have to be afraid of him. I can giggle with him the way it hits the little soul of the sun does. So
right. No, we're starting to look at the situation what Dr. Wayne Dreyer was talking about, the idea of making conscious contact with God and not what the idea of religion tells you it's all about. Actually, I've listened to Joyce Myers a couple of times, and she said the idea of praying has also been misinformed, that you have to do it a certain way. And realistically, what is prayer? Prayer is the ideal. Any kind of communication you have with God could actually be considered prayer. Now, her and her husband have a tendency to do things a different way. She believes that she has to bow your head and pray, when her husband has a tendency to keep his eyes, he keeps his eyes wide open, and he prays to God in his way. And she used to be very critical when she was younger and that kind of thing, where she would sit there and say, well, that's stupid. You know, how can you do that? How does that work for you? And her husband was like, well, the thing is, I don't have to justify it, how it works. It just does, and it's my way of communicating. He goes, basically, when you go out into the world, you meet many, many people. And a lot of those people, you're still being your complete who you are, but you have a tendency to know how to interact with those situations, and it's not always the same way. It's different ways and that kind of stuff. So therefore, God has a tendency to know that you will communicate. It's the idea of communicating with him is the idea of the importance. It's not the ideal of the procedure or the mechanics. It is what it is. And there was also talking about most organized religions have taken a task of explaining God to their congregations, including all the rules that God supposedly has laid out for humankind. But you cannot come to a point of knowing God through experiences or testimonies of others. This must be done by you on a personal level. That's what they're talking about. It's kind of funny how they talk about having a personal relationship with God and Jesus. At the same time, they kind of frown down on the idea of coming to church and doing it in public. And actually, most churches also have a thing about joining the church, becoming a member, as some kind of, it's like an award. It's like getting an Academy Award when you do that, and then people feel worthy. But every time I look going to church and that kind of stuff, they're going there to look for someone to accept them as being worthy. And realistically, they have a tendency to come to a point that you can really see the people who actually come to the point of having a relationship with God compared to people who are there looking around and seeing how everybody else is acting and going along with it. I had a friend of mine used to do that all the time. She'd go to church and she would basically ask for God to basically illuminate people that were true and the people that were just there, thinking if they went to church, they were going to heaven. And each one of these people would be lit up, like they would have a nice glow around them. And the people who didn't either had a very mild light to them or didn't have any at all. It also shows that these situations, like somebody asked me, what's the importance of auras? And there's actually a story by Edgar Cayce, who was able to see auras very clearly, did a lot of aura readings himself, okay? Walked up to an elevator, noticed the people when the doors opened up, there were people that had their auras either really close to them or almost a non-existent aura. And something told him not to get in the elevator. So he listened to what he saw and these promptings from his own angels and guides and walked away. About 5 minutes later, that elevator went crashing to the freaking bottom floor. So,
oh,
you know, the importance of our intuition, our angels and guides, auras, these things, you know, the more you really get into the situation and realizing how important these things are, we're all looking for signs, but sometimes we don't realize they're so simple. And something like that, of opening an elevator and going, not getting in here. Or even the other side of the realm, getting on an airplane. Everybody else is scared shitless, and you're sitting there going, everybody just relax. I got the angels. They're good. We got the wings. So just sit back and relax. To watch
That's
those
what
people
I do. Well, I put ribbons around the airplane anytime I get on.
Yeah. I actually see Archangel Raphael and Archangel Michael on the wings. You know, the idea. And then my thing is, I don't really focus on anything negative. I just say, well, I ask Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael to just get us from point A to point B and make it a very pleasurable journey and experience. And I've actually been through turbulence. And people kind of look at me going, doesn't this freak you out? I said, hey, guys, I told you once. We got it. The angels have got the wings and that kind of stuff. We're not coming down until we're supposed to get to the runway. We'll land. We'll be okay. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And I actually got some really good sleep. It was one of those situations. But what I'm saying is it's like urging you to meditate because it brings you more peace, removes stress, improves your surroundings, and deflects negativity. So the idea of meditation, let's say that you're in a situation you don't want to deal with, as if people are sitting here and that kind of stuff, you can close your eyes for 5 minutes or 5 seconds. No matter where you're at, meditation is one of the things you can take with you. No suitcase required. And just sit there and focus and clear your mind for a moment and say, I can do this. And then just walk into our, some people use their meditations to say, okay, angels, surround me. Do what you got to do. And just make this a pleasurable experience. And more than likely, you will. So that was sort of one of the situations, you know, the idea of surroundings. All of this and more will definitely show up when you meditate regularly. So the more you meditate, the more you're actually able to take it wherever you go, meditate too as well. But I've also did the same thing when I went to shop. I'll say, okay, no one's coming in the shop today. I will sit there and close my eyes and do a simple meditation and say, okay, I haven't set my intentions today. 4 readings now with the first person walking through and then using a simple meditation and seeing a visual of a person walking in the door and sitting down in my chair. That I've had last weekend was like, I did that exclusively, I think, on Saturday and Sunday, and it was like boom, 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 boom. And it was, you know, and we had people coming to the shop as I was doing readings where I was kind of like, wish I had somebody else there. They could at least made appointments for those people where they would have came back. It's amazing when you make appointments for people, they feel obligated to come back to those things, which helps them to commit to themselves what they really wanted to do in the first place. Especially in a situation like we have, because we have a lot of people who are visiting and tourists, and they usually have a plan, and usually that's not part of the whole thing, but it does have a tendency to kick in, you know? So I was sitting to look at the situation, including, it's like you need to include the embracing of silence as one of the top 10 secrets for inner peace and success. Primarily because it's the only vehicle that you will know for making contact, conscious contact with God. And the idea of realizing that you together, are co-creators. You visualize it, you focus, you send the intentions out, and God, universe, has a tendency to bring it into visible form. But people don't realize one thing about the situation manifestation is the ideal of bringing it into visible form is the ideal that you'll be the vehicle, and more likely what it comes through, and other people too. So you can't be, what this one guy said, if you start hoarding money and not really interacting with other people and not realizing why it's so important to hug a tree and see yourself grow, see yourself rooted, and then imagine all those roots connected to everybody else, or just imagine being connected to every freaking tree and everybody else is hugging those trees. You're connected to everybody in the freaking world. The reason you want to be connected to everyone in the planet, for one reason, is the ideal of success. You know, your success, if you're giving a service, you would like to have all those people being connected to you in the sense of giving service to those people, what they've come to get from you. If you make yourself singular, separate from everything else, first and foremost, you'll be lonely, all by yourself. And if you're hoarding money, more likely what's going to happen is you'll be in a situation where you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you're going, God, I wish I would have made a different decision. Here I'm by myself on a nice arc, and everybody else is basically gone. Because you decided, and realistically what it's saying is when you separate yourself from the whole, the word singular means, single means to be separated from the whole. So does anybody really want to be single? Me personally, I don't think so. Because I was going to talk about this girl today, Joey, came to my shop, and she's a witch, and she's visiting here. She's lived here in near old Carolina City. And she was talking about how people have this notion of being apart from the whole, want to be single, not realizing realistically it's an illusion because everything and everyone is connected as a whole. And it's just the idea of coming to the realization of embracing that. Once you embrace that, and then pretty much the idea of manifestation is the idea of attracting things to you that more likely you put into play before you even came here. The people who have such a difficult about the situation is people I call selfish. You say, oh, I'm going to do it my way. Not realizing that things have not really lined up that way for you to do that freaking life because that's not what you came here to accomplish. Everything else is in alignment exactly with what you came here to do. Those are the easy ones. I think the one lesson for most people is, okay, I didn't manifest this thing, so what's wrong with it? Not realizing the process itself, there's nothing wrong with the process. It's the ideal, the universe saying, you know something? You're focusing on a brick wall, but subconsciously, you want a canoe. So this canoe keeps showing up all the time. But you're so fixated on this brick wall that most people would call protection. The canoe is trying to get you back out into the flow of life. The brick wall is like we call the obstruction of blockage. So your subconscious, so realistically what you really do want is being attracted to you all the time, but you keep pushing it away. Now if you take that and look at the relationships, then you understand the idea of manifesting relationships is easy too. As long as you learn how to accept and receive what you put out there. Because we're sitting here thinking, oh, you're saying soulmate, twin flame. One thing about the situation I've seen a lot of people ask lately is, I don't want to attract ugly guy or ugly girl. To me, that's a situation that like attracts like. I always wonder what do they see when they look in the mirror that would give them the fear of being scared to attract an ugly person. I think realistically, if we would go back to the point of spirituality, we will realize one thing. There are no such thing as ugly people. When was the last time you actually saw an ugly spirit or an ugly soul? And I did say souls or spirits. I didn't say demons. Sometimes I think people, the difference between a spirit and a ghost, I think a ghost is like a recording that's stuck in a pattern, keeps repeating itself over and over again, like a recording. If it's stuck on replay, it'll keep replaying over and over again. Okay, if you notice, if you really get into those kind of situations, you'll know that notice that they don't interact with you either. They just keep going through a pattern. Now, spirits are, on the other hand, are very conscious of themselves, and you actually can't interact with them, which most of us have some of our spirits of our past relatives as guides. And guides themselves. And the idea, why would I trust spirits and angels and guides? Because most of the time, especially with angels, the reason I trust angels really explicitly is because they haven't been human. So they don't have that influence. Plus that, more likely, if they're around me, the only motivation they have and their sole goal is me. And they're usually trying to focus on the situation too as well. Say, are you focusing on your wants, needs, and desires? And the idea of focusing on yourself, not in a negative way or selfish way, but just focusing on that one situation, which I don't know how to get across with this, why it's so important to have that kind of belief in yourself. Through all the experiences I've had, even with friends and stuff, the one thing I've always found, most people have trouble manifesting anything or even the idea of getting ahead on their bills and that kind of stuff, always falls back to one thing. How they believe in themselves. Self-worth. Do they deserve it? And 9 out of 10 times I've worked with these people, I always find out they subconsciously don't believe they deserve it. But when you change that, all of a sudden they start manifesting things at will, their income increases, and they have a different appreciation for what they have already and themselves. So you can knock it and you can do that kind of thing. Even the idea of chakras and auras and those kind of stuff, I've also noticed with the work that's done in those situations too, clearing out, as Heather calls it, the gunk. You definitely see a positive change in people too when they start getting rid of these things. So therefore, the next time someone sits here and sits down with you and says, this is what you need to do, and you kind of shrug it off, you tried everything else, why not do this? And my favorite thing, I seen this with Joyce Myers where she was saying, instead of doing everything and then saying, well, I've done everything else, so I guess I should pray. She says, once you try doing this, connecting with God. So therefore, in the ideal realizing, when we say co-creation, it's the ideal. You ask for it, you set the intentions, and you must let go of it and detach from it. And the ideal of letting God and the universe create. And then the thing about, I was talking with Dr. Wayne Dreyer, was talking about anticipation. It's very important, the anticipation, the excitement of looking forward to your manifestation happening. Not a session, I'm talking about happy, where you can actually see in your mind saying, hey, I can see it, I can feel it, I know it, so therefore, so be it, so it is. And you'll see things change.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just sitting there going with things with myself. We had some callers in the queue, but you know something? Either they either got it, or they got impatient. And you're hoping they didn't get impatient. Because of situations like this, if you just call in just to get a reading, sad. I think you should come on the show because, I mean, you're being guided here for a reason. So take it all in. What do you think about that,
Hi,
Carrie?
Hi, Bonnie. It's Carrie. How are you?
I'm good.
Hi, Heather. How are you?
Hello. I'm good, honey. How are you?
I am good. I just love your energy with Donnie. You just, I love you there with him.
Thank you so much. I have
and
a lot of fun.
You're just so happy.
Yeah, I know. What you
well,
put in that
you
tea?
Know, I got my tea. And it's not funny tea.
I don't know what it is, but go ahead, Donnie.
Oh, no, I was just kind of going over some more things in this situation where it says God is that which is indivisible. There's only one omnipresence. I was going to say that one thing real quick. There's only one omnipresent presence called God. This presence is everywhere and is a force that creates and sustains life. So the more you actually allow yourself to be a part of it, those things, creativity and sustaining life, also reflects in your life as well. So it's like what I was saying, it can never be divided or cut up into pieces. It's always been as a whole. So the idea of looking at the situation, when two people really come together in the truest sense, the whole thing, not only do they have a great relationship, but they all have a tendency to become a whole within themselves, which it makes it easier to actually commit to another. Because when you are whole, then you're automatically attracted to something else as whole. So the idea of working together, you become a whole of the situation. Because we're going to talk about this today, where it's like only two people can only attract each other once they've got to the point of actually being whole within themselves, and the other person attracts the other person. So therefore, people say, well, you're like a piece, the last piece of the puzzle, but they're not looking at the right sense of the word. Like, if you ever look at a freaking puzzle itself, you cannot take half a piece of puzzle and put it in there, because you'll still have a hole in the freaking thing, a whole life. But when you have, but so we have two pieces of the puzzle coming together, but those are also whole pieces that come together as well. They're not half pieces. They're pieces and pieces and pieces and pieces. And you have a whole freaking life of all these pieces that come together, which shows us the true picture. Does that make sense?
Maybe.
I'm just saying, with the situation, a lot of people have this expectation, and they should get rid of the expectations. They should learn how to accept, because that's where the faith comes in. Okay, I said something, I set my intentions to the universe. So they should have the faith that the universe is going to deliver. Because realistically, if you look in your life, you'll notice the universe always delivered. That's what I was telling a friend of mine, she said, you've always gotten everything you wanted. You've got everything you ever needed, whatever you desired. I said, if you really look at your life and the way things are falling into place, where everything happens for a reason, the answer is yes. That's one of the things a lot of people don't notice until after the fact. Even the idea of all those relationships you went through. When you finally find the right person, you look at all those other situations and relationships, you start realizing there was a nice pattern leading to the person that you're with now that you'll probably be with for the rest of your life. And each one of those people that you was with also brought out something more about yourself that you learned. So when you actually got to, if you want to call it soulmate, twin flame, when you got to that point and actually met that person that you were meant to be with, your match, you'll notice that you went through a lot of experiences to find out more about yourself, to be a whole person. Also the idea of realizing how much power that you have given away to certain things, because of the ideal saying, I need this, I got to have it. Not realizing that your thinking was telling you that these things were going to make you whole. And all they did was point out to you that you've gone in the wrong direction. And you finally met a person that said, oh, yes, I'm going to walk all over you. But you also found the strength within yourself to realize that you also allowed that to happen. So then you start taking accountability for your life. And once you start taking 100% accountability for your life and your decision, then you found a place to start where you can actually change it the way you really want it, instead of the idea of realizing you probably compromised your whole freaking life. Well, at least between 18 until you figured it out. Because you know, you've ever noticed people, they usually have pretty much a big old plan in their head what they really want to do when they're 18. And then they are maybe even younger than that. I've actually done some palm readings lately, where some kids between 4 and 5 or 6 years old, they pretty much know what they want to do in their lives, what they want to do with their lives, and it reflects in their hand. So we know it's pretty much a certainty. But for some reason, depending on the light of the family you have, those things have a tendency to change. And then you start compromising. We really can't blame, I was going to tell this one person, you can't blame your parents, because they can only teach you from their own perception. What your job is say, okay, this doesn't feel good to me. So therefore, develop your own perceptions. Expand on what you've already been taught. Ask yourself, how does that feel? Reason, and we also know this works too, because people, we've seen, there was one case where a lady was actually raised by devil worshippers. But there was always something inside of her, always prompting her to the light. So she was taught one way. But as soon as she followed this prompting that she had, she was able to let go of that, crazy life and the situations, all the things she was taught, and favor the truth. So we all have. So when you hear a story like that, that's a freaking, I mean, we can imagine how people are taught in those situations where it's just constantly drilled in their heads. And this is happening from birth. We can look at the situation where we came from, what we was actually taught too, and the experiences that we went through from birth. To look at a situation like that should give you the motivation to realize you can do it too. And ask yourself why you're even hanging on to simple things. It's, I'm trying to think of a simple thing. Because nothing's really too simple the way people have a tendency to really put their expectations in those things, because we've heard it all the time. I heard a guy say this the other day. I would be that great person if it wasn't for what my family did to me. Not realizing what his family had done to him is not going on anymore, except within his mind, which is also kind of a crazy situation. I've seen the views of abusive husbands and stuff like that. When you're hearing these people talk about places they're not at anymore, and how much control those people who are no longer a part of their lives are controlling their lives. And then what's even more sad about it is to realize they're just thoughts, and how easy they are to let go of. Everybody makes it complicated procedures. You know, you got to go through this, not realizing, going, I'm done with it. Because realistically, even with all the therapy and all the stuff people go through, that's usually how it happens anyway. The final denouncing and say, you know, why am I doing this anymore? These beliefs and this situation, all kinds of stuff, no longer serve me, if they ever did. And they change and everything like that. I mean, we had that one lady was actually told when she was 8 years old, she never mounted nothing one time. It affected her until she was in her 40s, and she finally realized it was just a thought that she was hanging on to. Those people she was talking about either didn't exist anymore or never had the same perception. They had changed. The only person that hadn't changed was her, because she refused to let go of it. And then when she let go of it, it's kind of amazing. A person, when they let go of just simple little things within their subconscious mind holding them back, they excel pretty quickly. It's almost like the ideal, taking that freaking brick out of the dam, holding back something that shouldn't be holding back in the first place. But once you remove one brick, it pretty much opens up pretty quickly, and you're able to let go of those other things that were basically a formation off the hold. Tiresome, isn't it? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, so we want to sit there and say, everybody, hello? Think about it yourself. What are you doing now, you know? Are you sort of holding on to thoughts too as well?
Yes.
What kind of thoughts are you hanging on to?
Fine. You know what I'm thinking about. But I did go get one of my handed-down little books by Wayne Dyer. It's The Power of Intention, Learning to Co-Create Your World Your Way.
Mm-hmm. So to look at that, what was it? This is the 10 Secrets for Success and Inner Peace. Success is what you make it. So therefore, you have to make it within your mind before it becomes reality in your outer world, which tells us that what we do have within ourselves creates our outer world.
Well, here's one quote from Wayne Dyer. It says, "You were intended out of love. You must be love in order to intend." So we all have intention, and everything we create, everything we do with intention. So behind the intention, we get to have love. We get to be love.
Mm-hmm.
Letting go of all fear, having trust in ourselves and in the higher power, in Source, in God, however you choose to look at that. Anyway.
Sometimes we look at the situation of trusting God is the idea. If you believe that God does exist and you trust in God, you can't keep from actually trusting yourself.
But that's it, exactly. It's absolute, true, unquestionable trust. It's, mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of people that I know. There's many times I'm like, I have to stop and ask myself if they really honestly know what they believe, because they don't seem to necessarily get it.
Oh, it's people creating off of other people's beliefs and can't figure out how they can't get nowhere.
Right.
Do you really believe this? Do you really believe what you're talking about? Do you really believe in the things you're talking and the things you're going through and the actions and the stuff? I mean, look at the worst, I think, to me anyway, was Jim Jones and that the situation he had created. Now, I actually saw a movie on the whole thing. It was based on true facts that Jim Jones actually came from a good place. He created something huge. But at the same time, there were certain things within himself that he still didn't trust. In the process of not dealing with those situations and just assuming that everything was okay, not looking at the situation completely, and almost like saying there's no problem, you know, he wasn't listening to his intuition, wasn't listening to what was really going on. I think he got caught up in the power of the whole situation. And actually, in that process of getting a little, well, say, a lot out of control, and then feeding so much into ego, that he also attracted other people into his sect, that they were controlling him and controlled the masses. And then when it came down to a strong realization of what had happened, this is a person that tried to get rid of everything on a massive scale. But the one thing is, you sit there and look at these people that were very drawn to this. They didn't have a belief in themselves.
Yeah,
you look at the situation. Yeah, I'm just looking at the idea of the leader himself. You know, when you start feeding into ego and allowing the ego to do the whole thing, I think the reason you do that is, like a lot of people do, I've seen in relationships where the woman will build their foundation on somebody else's, and then when he leaves, they get ticked off because their foundation just left. And plus, they don't trust, a lot of fear, a lot of things going on too. And when you look at the religious sect itself, you know, the whole, you can actually trace it back to the top where they don't believe in. He didn't really believe in himself. I think, you know, sometimes we see situations like this too, where everything happens so freaking quick. But you know, it's like one of those situations of people taking the time to actually reevaluate things as they're going forward and make sure that everything is on the up and up. And this was a situation of a person just allowed so much that was going on and just really went along with the flow real quickly. Going with the flow on that one. It's a crazy situation just looking at the whole thing, trying to explain how these people, all these people in this situation, because, I mean, I think the most baffling thing, the most baffling question everybody always asks is, how did it happen? I mean, we're talking, I think, I'm not sure, like 8,000 people, I think. I know it was a lot of people. It was one of the biggest mass suicides ever, I think, ever. And realistically, it wasn't. What they found out later on, it wasn't a mass suicide. So most people were forced to do what they did. Other people did it because they believed in him. And I guess that's the thing, I guess. If you look at the situation when we start putting our faith in another human being, you know, in those kind of situations, that's what it was. It was a fall from grace because he had basically severed himself from grace to the point where he said he was the one that they had to go through in order to be saved. So he was able to take these people in a situation like that and pretty much manipulate them to do anything he wanted. But it was also, look at the lack of faith in themselves, that they didn't question it. You know? Most people said that Jim Jones didn't. What was it? The first thing that came out was the idea that Jim Jones committed suicide. Until they started realizing of where the bullet came from, He would have had a gun at least 100 feet long to shoot himself in the head. And a 100 foot long arm, you know, to shoot yourself. So there's sort of, well, that's impossible, so someone shot him. I'm trying to put, that's another one of those situations of mystery. And you try to figure the whole thing out, but I'm just looking at it. I mean, sometimes it's kind of hard to even talk about when I sit there and focus on the whole situation. I'm looking at all the souls that were in that situation where we could look at them out-of-the-body experiences of looking at themselves and like, what the heck did I do? you know, once you've, once that body is let go of and you realize how much you have relinquished your reign, your driver's seat to your ego, that puts you in a situation that you should believe in another man. But it's the ideal that most of us, and people go, well, you know, you have to have faith in the people you work with. Yeah, but see, the faith I have in people is usually the guidance I get from my guides and angels on who I should or shouldn't trust. They're giving me insights, intuition, you know, that gut feelings, all those gifts. I guess it goes back to the situation that gifts are gifts, and they keep us from getting ourselves in situations like that where we listen. God's instilled those things in ourselves, too, to avoid such crazy things and situations, too, as well. And also shows you, in some sense, the word about certain things that happened in history, too. That there was actually a part in the Bible, too, I think, where there was a community at the top of a mountain. And this was a different way of looking at things, where the, I can't remember if it was the Greeks or somebody, they were trying to get this, it was just something they wanted to obtain. I don't think there was really any reason why they really wanted it or needed it. They just wanted it because they were told they couldn't have it. So they go after this whole situation, these people and that stuff, and they're in this big old fortress, and they're cracking and hitting it and all kinds of stuff, trying to get these people to give in. So they finally get to the point where they're going to go in and conquer the place. I think the fighting stopped except for them. They just kept on hitting it, and they finally break through the gates to find that everybody is dead. It was like a hollow victory. And the way it says in the Bible, it was one of those things where they actually found the place where they were drawing lots to see who would do what and that kind of stuff. It was basically a way to get back at them and say, you know, we're going to get this place, we're going to take control, we're going to control those people, we're going to have this, I guess, like a castle fortress, we're going to have this whole thing. And the people are going to have to conform to us. And when they break in the place and realize everybody's dead, and they actually organized it just that way. So when they came in there, they showed those people that I can do whatever I want, and you won't control me. And they didn't. They pretty much checked out and left. So it was kind of like looking at a situation of a mass suicide of people in this massive way of believing in this person who didn't believe in himself, so it kind of filtered down through the hole. And it came out this way, where it wasn't something that was planned in the sense of the whole thing. It was the idea of they had such a lack of belief in themselves, almost like they felt like they've finally come to that point. I think Jim Jones also, if I'm not mistaken, a congressman came out there, or a senator came there, because he was pushed and prompted to go there from parents and stuff. So they pushed the issue. They come in there, and then they did their little thing, checked it all out. Jim Jones welcomed them in, you know, wholeheartedly and that kind of stuff like that. At the same time, they got fearful of what the senator might go back and tell everybody. So they killed him. They killed his whole party and the senator, everything. And then I guess they felt guilty about the whole thing and said that since they did what they did, it was like almost like fear is controlling this whole thing. We have fear that made them kill the people because the fear of something was going to happen. Then they realized what they did by killing these people. Then they said, okay, well, this what's going to happen in this situation too is now the senator's dead, so now the government's going to come in here. And all this fear, which is taken over, to the point where we have to get rid of this. Even when I look at the situation of what happened, all this fear didn't make any sense. It shows you what happens when you make decisions in the fear. That when you finally get to the point that you thought you were trying to make, you realize that you haven't accomplished anything. And I've seen spirits who sit there and say, well, I'm dead now. What do we do now? Like there's anything to do, right? So it's the ideal, sitting there and using a story like this. Anytime you put yourself in a fear, might be a drastic analogy, but when you look at the situation of making one wrong decision or one decision in the face of fear. It shows you what happens in that mass suicide and what happened when one fear collected to another fear and then just kind of going on and on until now we have this big, massive death of everybody and anything. Even people were forced to drink poison. So there's a lot of people's suicides. And then what's so funny about the whole thing, people commit suicide and then killing other people because they wouldn't do it. They wanted to say, no, I don't believe in this. This can't be what it's all about. A lot of people, they got pulled in the whole situation, as in they really did believe in God. And it wasn't until that latter moment they started thinking about what they had allowed them, what they had allowed themselves to be pulled into. Because I still think the ideal of believing in God is the ideal of believing in yourself. If you can't believe in yourself, you can't believe in God. If you can't believe in God, you can't believe in yourself. So it's like it's not a vicious circle, but it's definitely a circle that I think you should put yourself in a frame of mind of being positive about. And I thought it was kind of crazy with some of the suicides that happened, how people just have a tendency to listen to one man who said he's connected to the God. What was that one? I can't remember the name of that one cult where they walk into a building of people who had basically killed themselves, and they all had jackets over top of them. And somebody had talked to them and told them that they needed to take pills or something and put the jackets over top of them. And the ideal, the favor of the big spaceship is coming to pick them up. But they had to be in this kind of state in order to be accepted. Huh?
I remember that, but weren't they all like on bunk beds or something? I don't know, I was not very old, I don't think, when that happened. I don't know. I just barely remember it.
I know. I was sitting looking at the situation of some of the things that people do and that kind of stuff drives you nuts.
Well, again, they're searching. And because they're searching, they don't feel adequate in making their own decisions or tuning in to their own angels and finding their own answers. So, yeah.
They're not believing in God and angels, because even in the Bible, was it Psalms 91, where it says God gives angels charge over us, that gives the ideal, the basis for guardian angels. And those people are sitting there going, guardian angels and angels and stuff like that are not in physical form in the sense of those situations, but there are, I feel like there are angels who come in physical form as part of the process of sending us in the right direction. And I think it was kind of crazy with this. I guess it's one of those situations that we should change the subject. Anyway, I'm just saying, when you sit there and look at those situations, those are people that fed into one fear that brought up another fear, and it just set up a spiraling going down where you can only see one outcome, and that's exactly what you got. All the situations are. Okay? It's the idea of people have such a time with churches and stuff, having that kind of faith in one person, when they should be having that faith within themselves, and that person, if he's really true with what he is. Okay? Then he should be a part of the whole, not the leader. And that's kind of a debatable thing, too, about leaders, too. I mean, I've gone to a lot of churches. I see the energy. I see people walk around dancing in tongues and the whole bit. I was trying to sit there and look at the bit. Good.
There's just someone outside that is honking, and it sounds like a dang squeaky toy.
Oh, really?
Yes, you know those little cars that they do push the little horn? Beep, beep. That's what it sounds like out there. Okay, that's him.
No, it's okay. Dr. Wayne Dreyer, we're sitting here talking about a lot of things and the idea of keeping your mind open to everything and attached to nothing.
Nothing attached to nothing. That is the most challenging concept. I don't know how to accomplish that. That is That is my challenge.
Yeah, the thing I like about
to nothing.
Mhm. Yes, it is your time. Yes, yeah. That's the biggest thing you have to learn, big time with relationships. The more that you are detached, the more a relationship will grow, because you're actually giving it the space to do so. But you're also showing how much faith you have in yourself and the choice that you made, that you can actually do that, because you also have faith in the person that you attracted. So that was sitting there going, it's not the idea of giving them power. It's the idea that you have the power within yourself to see that person for who they really are. Because I was sitting there looking at this one thing here. It says having limited abilities and talents. If you hold the belief in your mind that you don't possess the ability or talent to attract abundance, then you've weighed your balance scale with a lifetime supply of scarcity. This is a huge symptom of resistance, masquerading as an excuse for why you're coming up short on the prosperity balance beam. So let's reread the observation made by, I think it's A-Y-N Rand, Rond. And he says, I am a piece of God, a divine individualized expression of God. I am worthy and deserving of all that God is and all that flows into my life. The abundance I desire is on its way, and I will do everything I can to avoid blocking and resisting this divinely inspired flow. Now, what it means here is that he was talking about, it says here, she says, she didn't say in the degree of talent that determines how far a person will rise. She said emphatically, the degree to which he thinks is a determining factor. Your inner vision will triumph your innate talent every time. In fact, if you have the confidence that the skills or abilities you need are already available, then you're on your way. The first and most important step in releasing any excuse that you've adopted about lacking ability, then it's gone. First and most important step is to release an excuse that you've adopted about lacking abilities. Then it's crucial that you create an inner picture of yourself already living a prosperous life, even though it's failed to materialize yet. This is called thinking from the end. It forces you to begin an action program that's in balance with your inner picture, not the ideal of the lack. You know, like people have an inner picture. That's what we're doing. I have an inner picture, so therefore, I focus on the desire to actually attract those opportunities for my picture to become a reality. Like a person is sitting there going, your mortgage company is foreclosing on your house, and the idea of seeing the vision, what you see, that something will come in mysteriously and give you that picture, which I've seen. I had a guy come on the show, and he was there talking with Mrs. a while back. He sat there and said, I had done a reading with him before, and he calls me up and he says, do you see me losing my house? I said, no, I don't. And he says, well, they said that they're coming, I guess they're going to start tomorrow and foreclosing on my house. And I said, all I can tell you is what I see, and I don't see that happening. He actually came on the show the next day and told me that the mortgage company had come to him with a new program and they wasn't foreclosing on his house. And he called up to apologize. I knew you were right. You're always right. I couldn't figure out what was going on in this situation. I said, well, now you do. And it doesn't matter if I was right or wrong. That's the ideal. You still have your house. It says now, and it's like you got to concentrate and focus on the picture now. And this is a crucial part. You must become the abundance that you desire. That's right. You must be it rather than looking for it outside of yourself. These three steps helping you eliminate the ideal that you're where you are because of a dearth talent. Number one, banish the excuse of no talent. Create an inner picture. An inner picture. Okay. I don't know why I said that before. Create an inner picture of attracting prosperity. And number three, act as if by being what you desire. You're as talented as you decided to be up until now. Challenge the picture and miracle and miracle of miracles, you change your talents as well. I was sitting here talking about the situation that most people that are prompted they're attracted to certain things and the desire to do certain things in their lives and the idea of giving service to people, once they give into that whole thing, if they don't have it, this is kind of funny. People get into situations like, I'm going to do this. I feel like I can really help people, like counseling or something. And then they start getting into the situation, I think they have to go to school. School will tell you this, as the world will say, if you don't go to school, then you're going to have a limited life. Okay, so people who hear that commercial that don't go to college feed into the part that it says you will have a limited existence. What he's saying here is to let go of everything external that tells you otherwise and go within yourself, because you're being prompted and guided to this career. So it either must be within you or an opportunity to actually find it. But most people I've seen who actually do go to schooling start realizing how easy it was with the schooling and the stuff like that, like they already knew it. And all the stuff just came flooding to them, which made it a whole lot easier for the career they chose. That was kind of weird, but it's not weird. More likely, if we have many lifetimes, one of those lifetimes actually has all the experience and knowledge that you need. You just need to tap into it, right? And the idea of actually getting books and stuff like that have a tendency to tap into those memories. And that's what happens. See, it was sitting there talking about what Dr. Wayne Dreyer was frequently told as a young boy, and even as in college, as a college student, that he didn't possess the necessary talents to be a writer or a public speaker, which is kind of crazy because that's exactly what he does today, and he's very successful at it. So you look at the situation, it wasn't until he decided to follow what he really loved to do and the idea of writing and talking to people and that kind of stuff that his inner picture began to really call out to him. That's what he says. When promptings are basically your life purpose calling you because it wants to be birthed. It wants to become a reality. So we consider to help people with that one too by saying, okay, hey, you have a prompting inside of you that you need to do this. This is your life purpose calling out to you that it wants to come to life now. It doesn't matter what kind of circumstances or situation you're in. It's the idea it wants to come now. And more likely when you sit there and embrace that whole situation, it will become a reality. I think it's kind of crazy when we have examples like this that people kind of still think that they can't do it. To see a person coming from a situation who didn't have the skills, supposedly, to do these kind of things and still made it a reality anyway, which he continues to do this day, because I'm actually reading one of his books. So what can you do? As soon as you arrive yourself in the situation, you can attract, and you also are able to recognize the opportunities and the guidance available to you. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Nothing. I found some really interesting information in this book. Really awesome. There's, let me see how many. It's on intention. It's about intention and living your life through intention. And there's, 8 steps. Anyway, well, this is 10. sorry, I was looking for that and I couldn't find the number and everything. Anyways, let's see that in an intelligent system, no one shows up by accident, including you. I'm just going to read this, the main parts of each one of these. Step 2, seize every opportunity, no matter how small, to give your life away in service. And there's so many, that comes up for me so much, which is really hard for me because it goes right back to being attached and not being attached. And like my business said, I want it to go away, but at the same time, I don't want it to go away. Because it holds memory, which is the whole reason I want it to go away. And so there's the attachment. And then there's the monetary value of it that I don't want to let go. But if I let go of the attachment, the monetary value of it, if I let go of that and just know that I'm allowing this material stuff to go to someone who can use it, and it's out of my space, then, one, there's room for other things to come in. Two, of course, karma, outflow, inflow, what comes around goes around, all of those wonderful things. You know, yeah, so anyway, seize every opportunity, no matter how small, to give your life away in service. Let's see, step three, align your purpose with the field of intention. Step four, ignore what anyone tells you about your purpose. That is where I struggle too, because if somebody says, list, you don't need to make lists. Why would you make a list? And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, why am I making a list? Well, maybe because I have ADD and I need a list, because if I don't have a list, I can't remember what the heck I'm supposed to do. So that's actually something that's happened to me, is I was making lists and I was very diligent and very excited to be able to accomplish everything on my list, but I let some stupid idiot come into my life and make fun of my list, and so I quit making them, and I didn't accomplish things, and it was, ignore what anyone else has to tell you. You have your own purpose, your own agenda, and things that you have to get done. Now, there are people who do come into our space and share messages that they've been given. I know there's times when something will come up for me for someone else, and I have to share that with them. It's not me being in a space of judgment or being ridiculing of them. This is something that you're supposed to, this is a message for you. It has nothing to do with me. But so we have to decipher. Mm-hmm. Anyways, number five, or step five, remember that the all-creating field of intention will work on your behalf. Number six, study and replicate the lives of people who've known their purpose. So in other words, you want a mentor. Or, the perfect example. Okay, so, in Happiness, Will Smith goes up to the guy driving the Ferrari, and he's like, what do you do? I want to do what you do, because I want to have the life that you have. I want the success that you have. I want to do what you do. And so he follows, he follows the leader pretty much. He does what the guy does. So, and goes after it wholeheartedly. Anyway, so let's see. Act as if you're living the life you were intended to live. This is step seven. Even if you feel confused about this thing, I can get my words out. Even if you feel confused about this thing called purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Step eight, meditate to stay on purpose. I cannot, and this is such a huge lesson for myself as well. I cannot reiterate enough times how vital it is to meditate daily. Even numerous times during the day, if necessary. I used to leave my little meditation space open all the time. And I would pop into it or pop out of it, whatever. I had it available all the time. And so if I needed to go stand there and just regroup for a minute, I could do that. And it is so important. Anyway, so yes, meditation. Step nine, keep your thoughts and feelings in harmony with your actions. Are you giggling at me again?
No.
No, not me. Okay,
no.
Step 10, stay in a state of gratitude. The key to success is gratitude. Gratitude is the key to success. I am grateful. Thank you. Be in gratitude for every single thing. How do you do that? My sweetheart left me. How am I supposed to be in gratitude? Walking into my bedroom and looking in my closet, and my closet's all neat and tidy, and I can have everything the way that I want it. I'm like, this is pretty cool. I really like having my space to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in gratitude. Right. Sorry, that was something that I just acknowledged tonight when I was going to pick up this book. So.
Well, I'm just saying, so you can look at the situation and you'll get to a point where you'll be grateful for the whole situation, for what it was and how it actually brought you into a state of growing within yourself to realize more things about who you was than a person was actually denying that you should let go of, not realizing it wasn't his job. Because I was reading this book here where it says you align yourself up to the universe. That tells you that there's no limitations. But if you listen to those who profess to know better concerning your talents, like the Jones situation with all the mass suicide, they're putting their faith into somebody else instead of putting that faith in themselves. And the ideal, and realistically, you know, people consider and say, well, hey, that's being a little selfish, isn't it? God instilled all these things within yourself. So when you acknowledge these things, you're actually acknowledging God. So it's what it says here. If he would have, and then he would have also, when you sit there and do that, and you basically give in to what people are professing to know better concerning you, you basically are going to attract precisely what I was believing, which means the absence of abilities, the absence of anything that you want to do, even the ideal, the absence of belief. Because actually, when you look at the situation, the person is believing in somebody else, believing by being by doing so, that actually, I guess, how do we put this? It's acknowledges them. They're looking for acknowledgement, and this person was acknowledging them and giving them everything they needed to know, everything they wanted to feel. They felt happy and stuff because this person acknowledged them, not realizing this process, the situation, they were justifying who they were compared to what he was telling them. In the situation, what I've always had problems with Christian faith is the ideal. They always have a tendency to read the Bible, supposedly, which the Bible says about nothing but abundance and prosperous. Go out and be abundant and prosperous. Go out and be fruitful and multiply. All these things. And then they tell you the opposite, in some sense of the word, of saying, no. And then they kind of leave you in the dark about the whole thing. Okay, well, know what? Well, you're not supposed to do that. Why? And then they said, well, you have to have faith in God. At the same time, this person is telling you, okay, because when you look and watch a Dr. Wayne Dreyer Center saying the idea of believing in yourself is the idea of tapping into God and the essence of the universe. Okay, not tapping into somebody else's essence and the ideal of connecting to God. Because what you're going to be doing is, if those people have a belief that they know what God is and their perception, the whole thing, that kind of stuff, you might be tapping into them and their beliefs. So it makes you probably feel the same way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because what I'm saying is, you're putting all your beliefs in this person, not yourself. So it takes away from the situation where this person realistically has become a god.
Well, that's why meditation is so vital, because meditation does not include anyone else but you and Source, the person meditating and Source. There's nobody else there, and except your angels and your guides. They are present, and you can call them present. And you know, I was just coaching someone today who has lost several loved ones, and she has also lost her dad. And I said, you know, you can connect with him and communicate with him. And I was walking her through the process of how to do that. And we can connect with those.
No, I was understanding. What I was laughing about earlier was the idea. I saw this chapter here. It's like the chapter itself is basically based on, you know, find the part we talked before earlier of resistance, removing your resistance. Removing your resistance is the idea of people instill things as negative thoughts within yourself, and that actually builds a resistance. People say they don't have good luck. This is the thing I saw.
I lost it for a second.
Okay, this one here was number 5. It says, I've never been lucky. The universe that you live in and that lives in you operates on energy and energy alone. Nothing happens until something moves. Albert Einstein actually said this. Everything is vibrating, even the seams, to be anything, okay, even anything that seems emotionless is still vibrating, rocks and stuff, etc. And if you ever tapped into crystals and stuff like that, you'll understand that one. The universe functions with the law of attraction, meaning that energy matches up with similar energy. Your thoughts are vibrating a vibration of energy. Low thoughts, those that are out of balance with source energy, attract low energy responses from the universe. High, spiritually based thoughts attract identical vibrations that bring you what you desire in harmony with your source. That being said, there is no room for luck in the universe. If you have an accident, you aren't unlucky, and you're not at fault. You're simply a vibration match to whatever you, coincidentally with that, what you collided with in that moment. By viewing your world in this way, you can begin to exercise more choice about what you're matching up with, which means the idea, if you have a prompting that says, don't go there, because it's really not matching up, and it's going to be an accident. By changing the lower vibrational energy of your thoughts to a higher vibration, you set in motion energy that seeks to match your higher desire. So then all of a sudden you start attracting positive situations. Accidents are lower vibrations, so those are negative situations. So we can sit here and listen to this kind of thing, saying, realistically, nothing happens by chance. Everything happens for a reason. And if it's just the ideal, snap out of it. You broke your arm in an accident to change your energy, your beliefs, what you're focusing on, that kind of thing. And see, even if this sounds nonsense to your ego-trained mind, I urge you to begin the process of seeing things from a vibrational rather than a good luck versus bad luck position. That is, I recommend that you adopt this belief system that our energy attracts other energies. And when you have an accident, just realize your energy must be somewhere attracting accidents. But everybody's always looking for a place to start. You just have one. So you take that and say, okay, I don't like that. It might sound crazy, but it's simple as it is. If your luck appears to be bad, shift your expectations around. Make every effort to stay in balance with what you desire rather than what you've been attracting. Luck will disappear as a factor, which means the ideal, you'll start realizing that if everything does happen for a reason, it helps you understand the ideal of the situation. What am I putting out there to attract that? And you'll change it. And basically, it's always been this way. So you consider and say, there must be an easier way of doing this. Actually, you just heard one. You know, I was sitting talking the other day, too. I was like, people keep talking about, I almost missed that. I almost got hit by a car. I said, this is a person who's trying to explain that inner part. You know, you have you, the situation, and then in the middle, they're saying, well, I almost hit. When they're not looking at that middle part, between the two is where the guidance is at. So the reason they didn't hit that person, because they was focusing on energy. Now if they can actually recognize exactly what they were doing, they could start doing things like that intentionally, where accidents would cease, and realize that they didn't almost hit nothing. It didn't happen. There is no such thing as almost. I mean, when you see a person swinging at a ball and they miss it, they just say, miss it. They didn't say, I almost hit it. They just realize right then and there, no, I didn't. And they correct themselves. So the next time, they will hit the ball. Believe me, I played golf before. You go through a lot of that missing shit. Anyway, let's see. I was actually going, because it's like the secrets, the 10 secrets for success and inner peace. Success begins within yourself. Keep your sonic communion with God to yourself. It's almost like those situations I was talking about manifestation before, and the idea, why is it important to keep it to yourself, keep it in silence, not share with another person, because you don't want to deal with their energy. If you have a person in your life that you can actually trust, who's on the same vibrational pattern as you are, then you could confide in them, and they could actually help you accomplish what you really want to do, probably even quicker, which would probably be more likely. I think you shouldn't do that kind of thing unless it's a spouse or a person in that relationship situation where you're in the process of manifesting your dreams, and you can see what happens. But until it happens, there are things that we want to accomplish within our own selves. there's nothing wrong with keeping those things to yourself in the process of manifesting, because once they do manifest, even the people in your life will be benefited. They'll benefit from these things too as well.
Do you know what I would like to accomplish?
What's that?
I would like to accomplish this book. I want to read this whole book and comprehend it. It's Wayne Dyer's Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, Wisdom of the Tao. And it is so deep. Accomplish reading, because I could read all the words and get all the way through the book, but to understand it is a whole other story. Did you really?
Yeah, I got it in CD, it's a whole lot easier to comprehend if you're listening to it instead of reading it, because when you read things, realistically what you're doing is you're thinking and trying to do something, just you're doing two things at the same time.
Well, I read the first chapter 5 times, and it's only 4 pages long.
That's why I listen
so
to CDs.
Deep. I'm like, but I know it's truth, and I don't know. It's like I get it, but I don't know how to explain it. But it was talking about allowing, which is why I ran and grabbed it. So allowing it's really hard to, the concept of allowing things to happen, or allowing things to be as they are. Okay, so.
No, I was just going to suggest that we take some callers.
All right, then.
We got a slew of them.
Excellent.
No, I just want your thing. Allowing is the most important part, but people do have a tendency to have a hard time allowing things because
it's a great challenge, too.
Yes, it's a control thing.
Perhaps that's another subject we can touch on at another time.
There you go. Why people have such a hard time allowing. Sounds good to me. Let's go to caller 612, area code. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing?
Let me think. I'm doing good.
Yes, well, I wish I could be amazing, but I am calling in because I have a really quick question.
Okay.
I have been kind of seeing this guy who's involved with someone else, and so I said, it's not going to, well, today, while he was at work, we also have a business relationship, so it's a little more complicated. But while he was at work, I had to text him, and I just said, listen, I'm not going to go further. I want no one to get hurt. You need to make up your mind, because he doesn't want to be alone. That's his whole issue. And so I'm just wondering, because I haven't heard back from him, which isn't totally unusual, I'm just wondering when I'm going to hear from him.
And you work together?
Oh, well, we have a business relationship, and that's not going to be ending anytime soon, so.
Yeah, because I look at these situations, and I've had a lot of clients right there and say, the idea of the word complicated is something you've added to the situation that you should take out of it and just look at it for what it is. It's a relationship, a business, and a relationship that you would like to have on the other part of the situation where I feel like you're going to hear from him, but I also feel like you need to not, in some form, the idea of leaving it open, but just shutting the door. And people will sit there and say, well, if you shut the door, then it's over. That's your insecurities talking. A door was open in the first place, and two people being very open to the situation. So when you say the door, what you're saying is I'm shutting the door to the situation. Let's focus on business and that kind of stuff. You want to be alone? Okay, fine, dude. Have at it.
No. And that's basically what I said today, so I really have no idea what he's going to do or where it's going to go.
I feel like, I'm just saying, when you look at the situation, okay, every time you ask a question about him is the time you take away from yourself. And the reason I always sit there and tell people it's so crucially important to not do that is because at that moment that you're asking the question, that person is not in your life. And it's the ideal. And when people say, well, we do business and stuff, I said, no. At that moment, as we talk about living the now, and you're asking that question, he's not standing in front of you. So therefore, It's something that has to be asked in the confound of actually face-to-face kind of thing. Texting, emails, all this other stuff, bullshit. Needs to go out the door, gone. because it's killing the communication between two people in a relationship under what it's supposed to be about. Now, well, I could sit there and say, you know something? He's communicating with you all the time. He's a dork, and he's a contradiction. He says he wants to be alone. At the same time, he keeps gravitating.
No. He says he doesn't want to be alone. Like, that's his issue.
No. I understand that, but the situation of not answering your question and not really giving you answers.
I understand. Okay, I apologize.
Yeah. But he's implying, I want to be alone. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's this contradiction, back and forth. His action says separation. His mouth says, I don't want to be alone. But see, that's also the problem, too. He has a state of consciousness about being alone. He has an issue. He has a problem. It's that nobody, because I've done relationship counseling for a lot of people, and until you get your point, until you get yourself to the state that you don't care because you're good. I'm fine. I have great times by myself and the situation, all those things like that, taking the state away of loneliness. There are times where you sit there and kind of long for companionship, but you should look at the situation as longing for companionship, not the idea of being alone. But he has a fear of being alone. So he has more issues that you might want to consider before you even go into this situation. Because he's got his fear of being alone, and those actually could work against you, even the context of being in a relationship, because he'll sit there and use those as separation, which will be another contradiction. Because it came to me first when you said, when am I going to hear contact in the process of actually getting answers to the situation? And it said June. So it's what it's saying is, even if you're talking to him, and he's talking to you.
Oh my gosh, that would actually make sense, because I'm going to be in the UK for 2 months, and I get back in June.
Really? Can I go with you? I want to go to the UK. Anyway, so where are you calling from?
Minnesota.
Minnesota, the place of, what is it, 1,000 lakes or something?
10,000.
10,000 yeah. lakes. Isn't that great? I have a lot of choices to go fishing, don't you? Anyway.
You do, yep.
But I'm just saying with you, sweeties, look at the situation too, okay? We have a guy here who's reflecting a lot of things back at yourself about you. Now, it might not be an insecurity of being alone, but you should definitely take a look at the situation right now. Take a step back as you're out of the country for 2 months and kind of look at all the things that he has an issue with, communication. He has a hard time being honest with himself, or this thing would have already gone forward. He has an issue about being lonely. So you have three things that you need to look at and say, okay, how do those things reflect back at me about myself? Now, insecurity, and the energy of insecurity, attracts another insecurity. So it might not be the same thing, but it might be on the same line of the whole thing. But you are not in the process. Like, for example, okay, you'll be sitting here going, okay, I don't have no problem being alone, but I damn sure want to be in a relationship. You have to ask yourself, what's the prompting behind that? Okay, are you really ready? Are you tired? Awaiting? And those two factors have taken consideration here. Do I really? What's this guy's name? I want to call him Dick.
Adam.
Adam. He's far from being Adam. But then again, Adam was indecisive too in the process of eating that stupid apple he shouldn't have ate. But that's just my perception on the whole thing of a guy who should never ate the apple. He was kissing ass when he should have sat there and said, well, God told me not to do this.
Totally agree.
Yeah, he should have listened to himself at that time. Because I've been in relationship counseling for a long time. You still see men do this. I kiss her ass, I won't be alone. So if you go, because if you read the Bible, no, seriously, you read the Bible, it says that Adam was lonely. And when he was sleeping, God took one of his ribs and made Eve when he was lonely. Wow, we have a little chain reaction going. Gosh, we need to go back really a lot of past lives to cure that one, huh? But but I'm just saying, with the situation, when a guy's doing this, we also know for a fact that we don't want to sit there and go down the wrong path like Adam did, which was nothing but hard labor.
Mm-hmm.
If you would have chose the other route, it would have been very pleasurable. But now we have a situation with this guy here. Adam, for some reason, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, but the connection between the two of you, I'm not denying it, but as a civilization, we're all connected. We all have bonds and connections. And I'm just saying, with this situation here, with some of the issues he's got going on, I get the impression that you might actually go into a different direction. Because that's just how...
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I don't hear from him soon, yeah, I might. No, I'm just
Go ahead. I'm just saying, don't make a decision because of what he does or doesn't do.
Right,
make a decision that's good for you. Because you're really good at
that. Well, it's kind of up to him now, because either way, I'm not going to get involved if he's involved with someone else. It's not going to happen.
I'm just saying, do what you want to do, but do what's good for you.
Right.
Don't get in a relationship because you want to be in one.
Right. Oh my gosh, way too confusing for me. I didn't even want a relationship when I met him. I was like, no, that was not in my path. And now...
Okay, why did you do that? And why did you do anything?
Well, we didn't do anything physically yet because I wouldn't do that because he has a girlfriend. And I wasn't going to do that. I don't want her to be hurt. I don't want to get hurt. So... I have not been physical with him yet.
Okay, you keep saying you haven't been physical with him yet, like you have a plan.
No, I don't have a plan, but I won't even go hang out with him because I know it would go to that level.
Well, that's good. You're respecting yourself. Realistically, you're respecting yourself, which enables you to respect everybody else in the situation. That's
right,
good.
Exactly. Yeah, so I don't know. It wasn't in the plan. He's not in my plan, but apparently he's come in my path now. So I just really want to know what's going to happen, more or less.
Well, like this, I get the impression, okay, if he still has a girlfriend now, or do you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
Actually, I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you.
So what you're saying to me is you can't tell me if he has a girlfriend or not.
I mean, I haven't talked to him today, so I guess he could. He might have. I mean, I'm assuming so, yes. I have no idea.
Okay, last time you talked to him, did he have a girlfriend?
Yes.
Okay. You're throwing the assumption that we'll go in that conversation, okay? In the process, in the context of a man having a girlfriend, there's nothing more to think about. Nothing more to put your thoughts into the situation. Okay? You need to just cut it loose and forget whatever happens. Because the one thing I focus the most on with some of the clients I work with relationship counseling is to focus on themselves and solely on themselves. Until that person presents themselves and gives you the answers you've already asked for, there's nothing else to think about. I can't stress it enough in the process of never make decisions according to what a guy's going to do or not going to do. You sit here and step back of the situation of the guy going, God, he's a nut. And do I really want to deal with that if he doesn't change? And then the idea of the situation, why should I expect him to change? Because I actually develop feelings and a connection with him because of who he is. So you got to look at those situations and go, I need to walk away from the situation. And then when he comes to me, I can ask the questions to him directly, and I think we'll actually get somewhere quicker. And the more you get back to your life and focusing on what you have to accomplish, because there's a lot of things that are kind of like being put on the back burner, that have to do with you personally. You seem like you're a very professional person and very good at what you do.
Oh, I am. Yeah. I mean, and I don't let anything get in the way of that. That's why I'm going out of town for so long.
Then don't.
But no, he's not going to stop that either way. Let's get
cool.
Real. No man gets in that way.
Mm-hmm.
but no, I totally understand what you're saying, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. When's your birthday, Emily?
July 21st. I'm a Cancer. Leo.
Yeah, you're a burning.
Right,
yeah,
on the
top. I would sit here and say that your temper is a sizzle, almost like boiling water.
Yeah, well, I'm Italian too, so you might want to take that up to like a boiling like volcano.
Yeah. And since she's Italian, let's all get some pasta and she can boil it for us. Anyway.
Yes. No, thank you. I so appreciate your help. Thank you.
I'm just saying, sweetie, you're just just full of energy and the whole thing. You can't look at a guy and go, okay, does he love me? That's a doubtful question that you're saying about yourself. Because you're just a fantastic, awesome person. How could he not love you?
Exactly. You're thinking the way I think now. I love it.
Some yeah, people might stick to that happy. One too as well, because that's why you accomplish such a fantastic life. It's yeah, so let me, a lot of people. I see a lot of people do this. They have these great lives, and for some reason, they think when it comes to relationship, they have to do it differently. But when it comes to manifestation, it's the same.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's the only thing in my life that's not good right now.
Well, just take the same energy you accomplish all the success, and do the same with relationships. When things you have this good knack about clearing out the clutter of things that no longer contribute to your happiness. Now you got to deal with your relationships.
Yes, I do. Amen to that. I'll get working on that. Thank you. I appreciate your help.
Yes, and call us back and tell us how it goes. I like to hear the inside of the whole thing, how it goes.
I will. I'll call you guys back. Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a great night. Great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Mm-hmm. All right. No, it's what I was saying before. I just can't stress it enough to people, the ideal, that you never make decisions according to another person. Because I've heard this so many times. How does he feel? Who gives a shit? How do you feel?
Honestly, the one thing that came up for me was, if he doesn't want to be alone, that's the kind of guy to run in the opposite direction as fast as you can. Because
I said, I got these new tennis shoes. They're really comfortable. If you need to borrow those things to run the other direction, just let me know.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, if he doesn't want to be alone, if he's terrified to be alone, and has expressed that he doesn't want to be alone, he's not going to be faithful. He's not going to be faithful to any girl because he's terrified to be alone. He's not comfortable with himself. So he seeks that comfort in other women. I was married to one of those. It doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. He needs to deal with his insecurities. Every time something doesn't go right in a relationship, it's going to tap into an insecurity and cause an affair.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's like one of the things he's looking for external satisfaction, not realizing that's lack of satisfaction within himself. Let's see, I'm looking at 303. I've seen that area code before. 303.
Denver.
Oh, Denver, okay. Smack me. All right.
You
let's go take three. I got it now, so let's go to area code 303. Welcome to the show, and how are you? You're on the
I'm
air.
Good. How
are
you? My name's Joanne.
Joanne. How's it going, Joanne? Say hey.
That's pretty good.
Oh, I was going to say hello. Say hello to Heather. What? Why is that so hard to say? Anyway.
Hello, Joanne.
Hello. How are you tonight?
I am fantastic. Thank you.
I was going to see if you could tell me.
Go ahead. I was just curious where you were at in Denver.
Denver, Colorado.
Okay, so you are in Denver, because I know there's a lot of people in suburbs, too.
Well, yeah, I'm in Denver proper.
Okay, no problem then, Joanne. I'm sorry. Just go ahead and ask your question. Let's get to it.
I'm just curious about what you could tell me about my birthday.
So when's your birthday?
November 25th, 60. I'm an old person.
What was that year again? 19 what?
1960.
I'm sorry, sweetie. I'm 61. You're not old. You're very young.
Sometimes I feel very old.
Yeah, but I've seen people that are 25. They also feel very old, too, because they're working stupid jobs when they should be focusing on a career. But that's besides the point. I just thought I'd say that. But your birthday. What would you like to know about your birthday? Because you're I think I do people's birthdays like this. Okay, I focus on the situation of all the things that come to me. Okay, so I might not pick up a lot of things with your sun sign, but realistically, your moon sign and your rising sign have more effects on you than your sun sign does. Your sun sign is basically good for getting you out in the sun and gives you a nice tan. Your moon sign, that's where the emotions kick in, and your rising sign is the idea of the motivation. Okay?
Okay.
So when you look at the situations of a 25th November, if I'm not mistaken, that puts you more into Sagittarius, but you sure have a lot of Scorpio kicking too as well, which is a water sign, and the emotions that come out of the whole thing as well as sexually, that sometimes you have a tendency to make decisions according to emotions instead of listening to your gut feeling, which is the ideal if you go back into Sagittarius, and the ideal using that energy to go and not be in your head, but to focus on what is coming to you and using the head to interpret what is being brought to you through guidance, which is kind of funny. People don't realize that intentions and clairvoyancy is actually a part of the, we have a balance between feminine and masculine, and that's actually your feminine side. So they have the ideal emotions and that kind of stuff and seeing things for what they are. It's best for you to focus on your intuition. I've actually seen this with palm readings too, where you'll see the heart line comes up and then you'll see a line that shoots off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Right there where your pointing finger is, that's your Jupiter finger. And that's where you usually find the evidence of what kind of spiritual gifts you have, clairvoyancy, you know, they're all there in that little area, which is right next to the headline, which uses as the line that goes across the middle of your palm. And sometimes it has a tendency to connect to your lifeline, which is the one that goes down near your thumb.
Right.
Now, when you look at those two, if they connect, it shows you have great intuition. If you have any kind of roots coming off of your heart line, that means it's like an urgency to listen to your intuition instead of letting your emotions make the decisions for you. So it's trying to correct things for you so that things can change for you in the future when it comes to relationships, not just with people, but with yourself. That's what we always tell people. It's so crucially important to love yourself, because when you love yourself, you listen to your intuition, you listen to your spiritual gifts, you trust yourself. So therefore, you don't have any questions about people you attract in your life because you trust yourself. You trust the decisions you've made. So when someone doesn't reflect what you actually do want with your life, who you are, you can see those people for, they're not the one. Yeah, you know, I've always said this before too, if you trust yourself unconditionally, then you're listening to your intuition and your guidance and your gifts, and they tell you everything you need to know. That's because you're connecting to your spirit. When you connect to your soul, you're connecting to your angels and the guides and all that guidance that's around you. So it all becomes spiritual. When you have spiritual, you still need to listen to yourself in the sense of how to have balance within yourself. So if you're making decisions through emotion, your emotions is basically part of the body part. Because when people are totally in spirit, they love everyone, even the people that drive them nuts, even the people that done them wrong. They can always love, 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 because they trust themselves to say, you're not coming in my life anymore because of who you are. Until you change that, I don't feel guilty because I'm making a decision. Since you can't trust yourself and stop inflicting this kind of stuff on people, then I make a choice that you're not going to inflict it on me. So you trust yourself. You still trust that person because you trust who they are. It's been reflected back at you. But you also go down the road, and when you meet the right ones, more than likely there won't be any questions. And you'll know, and you can actually embrace it quicker. A lot of people have a tendency with twin flames. It kind of drives them crazy because they will ask questions because they're kind of baffled because they actually found their match. Maybe they was even told, you know, twin flame, that only happens a rarity. Yeah, but it happens. So it's the idea they have a tendency to have too many thoughts in their heads in a negative sense instead of trusting themselves. You know, trusting outside influence will drive, well, I think that we should do like this. We should take advice from people and that kind of stuff too, put it all in there. And then as we're going over this stuff, invite our guides and angels to come in so we can weed it all out and make a proper decision on which way we should go. So we're taking all the factors in and that kind of stuff. But as a Sagittarius, the whole thing just takes on a different realm because you get that influence of Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to call them Scorpions, but that's some past experience of a bad relationship where I got stung. Anyway, when I look at the situation, there's something, some of the things you're in. Also, I want to remind everybody, if you think we're running out of time, we'll get you all to you guys. There's not many people in the queue. I can get through this real quickly. So just don't go anywhere if you really have an important question or it hasn't been answered yet. Just stay right where you're at. We'll get to you, all you in the queue. Anyway. You have a very, very interesting sign because I also feel like within your sign somewhere there's Capricorn, and it seems like it's really really Capricorn is like it just shows success. And I also get the impression with you in a relationship, too. Are you in a relationship right now?
Yeah.
There seems to be some... Huh?
31 years.
So does it have to have... I'm just getting an impression with the situation, a little indecisiveness going on now.
Yeah.
Choices and stuff. So I was like, that's why I felt like it was really good, important to go to the part of intuition, listening to yourself, your guides and angels, and what you really need to do. Not basing it off, because a lot of people ask the question, okay, what's this person want? Who cares? If you're asking the question, that means they haven't told you, or they wasn't very clear about it. So you look at the situation and go, okay, what's that reflect back at me? Just sit there and focus on the situation of all of, some of the things we've been through. But actually ask yourself how it reflects more on a point of reflecting back at you about yourself.
Correct.
Okay, so for example, if he's indecisive, you look at the situation and go, okay, how does that reflect back at me? Am I doubting anything at this moment? It might be a situation where if he's being indecisive, there might be some doubting that's going on within yourself. So this person is really good for giving you the answers, but he's not the solution.
Right.
Not in the sense of what choices you have to do for yourself. That's for you to do. And I think it's some sense of where that's what's going on. A lot of emotions here too.
Yep.
I just want you to sit here and look at the situation and try to create balance within your life right now. And the only way you can create that balance is to listen to your intuition and then follow through with it to have a peace of mind within yourself.
You know, it's crazy that you said all this. I mean, you so nailed everything. It's in the last couple of weeks, I just decided, you know what? Nobody's going to take care of me but me. I fix myself. My father died last year, and it was a very tough year. And some issues with my husband. And I finally decided, you know what? You know, what do I want to live with? What do I want to put up with? What am I willing to accept? And how am I willing to be treated?
Mm-hmm.
And I have intuition in that I have dreams, and family members have come to me in dreams when things were going to happen. It was like a premonition, but it was in real life. And I have not had that since my dad died. And since I came to this conclusion and started talking to my guides and whoever might be out there, I don't know who's out there for me, but I'm really trying to reconnect with that talent I had once as a kid that I'm trying to reignite. But my dad came to me in a dream 2 weeks ago, and it was the first time. And I know it was him, and I know, you know, we made a contact. But it's like all of a sudden, I'm starting to get it back because I'm taking charge of my own life.
That's great, because the Living on Center focusing on was the ideal. Since you're in Denver, it'd be great if you could come down to Manitou Springs. I actually have a shop here, and I think might sound crazy for some people. Yes, and it's like one of those things where I feel like you need some relationship counseling and some really focusing on manifestation, not the ideal of materialistic things, but the idea of focusing on manifesting some more opportunities to find the strength within yourself. But also, when you do that, you have a tendency to actually start manifesting things because you start realizing what you want, what you need, what you desire, what's been probably told you. Because it's kind of amazing when guys come into situations of thinking they can fix you, what's more likely in the process of trying to fix you, there's something they should be focusing on within themselves to fix, which will definitely come out in the relationship, as in his actions. That if he, because I've seen guys do this, well, I'm in a bad mood. That's why I said and did what I did. I've been in situations before where I got so freaking mad at my ex-wife. It was a situation, we tell everybody you can control every situation by just making a good decision what is good for you. She took off with my sister and a guy, and they said they were going to McDonald's. McDonald's was across the parking lot of our apartment complex, like 5 minutes away. They didn't come back for 3 hours. Okay? So at that time, the more of a situation played itself out, the angrier I got. I didn't realize how angry I got until she shows up, and I grabbed her by her sweater, literally almost ripped her sweater off her back. But I was able to stop right at that moment said, okay, this is not good. Okay, so when guys say they can't control themselves, bullshit. I sit there and stopped right in mid-motion and said, I need to take a walk. I need to walk away from the situation. And I did. Everybody was kind of freaked out going, you're really extremely mad. He got really mad, and it was a very bad thing to do. And it's also amazing that the reason we should never take any kind of advice from people in those situations who can't see the whole thing, which means I got angry. Yes, I almost put this foot off her back. But for some reason, nobody can actually can see what happened afterwards in the process of taking control of myself and walking away.
Right.
That's why I was always sitting there focusing on the situations and saying, okay, is he really a bad person? Or is it a situation that was escalated by one person, which escalated the other person, but somebody had to take a decision and neutralize it right then and there before it went any further, before there was some kind of violent thing going on, where someone took the initiative, listened to themselves, walked away. And I've always had that freaking situation with, you know, the angels and the intuition, which have gotten me out of a lot of the situations, but they've also seen me to see things realistically too, as well as getting a prompting at 6 o'clock in the morning to go in the kitchen, turn the light on, and found now she was my ex-wife, but at that time she was my wife and my brother together in a very sexual interlude, which I don't recommend for anybody. But what I'm saying is my intuition helped me in a very violent situation, but also in that situation, because it didn't get violent, because the first time I listened and walked away from the situation, I realized I could do that. So I did. So in this situation, I found them literally, you know, basically having fun like a couple dogs in the neighborhood. Anyway, but the thing is, I didn't get angry. I was just wanting answers to the point where I distanced myself from the situation. I think I actually went back to bed. But it was like one of those things, you're looking for answers, and they gave me answers. I had a suspicion about those two in the first place. And then it played itself out, and I got the answer. I almost didn't listen because it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm tired anyway. But it was kind of amazing how they guided me into the kitchen to hit a light switch that wasn't easy to find. Got the reality parts, but it's like telling people flat out, if you listen to your guidance, they will help you, and your angels, they will help you in every situation. If you don't listen, that's when those situations have a tendency to get out of control, and they become violent. And if you wind up in jail, it's the only person you can blame is yourself. Yes, she was messing around, she was doing all kinds of crazy stuff, but still, that's her responsibility to deal with her infractions.
Right.
To bring it to a violent outcome because I didn't want to listen to mine and get out of control, does not excuse the action, you know, or the idea of going to jail. That was, you know, I didn't go to jail. I'm just saying the situation, if I wouldn't have listened and have gone to jail, it was my fault for me being there. There are other situations you try to understand, but they all have a tendency if you do not feed into them.
Right.
And the answers will come out.
Right. I made it very clear that, you know, I'm not putting up with the drinking anymore. And, you know, when I became very self-confident and, you know, I said, I don't want to lose you. And I said, well,
too bad.
I don't want you to either. But, you know, if you've noticed, there's no more tears. The tears are gone. There's no anger.
Yes.
This is what it's going to be. And, you know, it is changing. But it has to come from
me. Those are the hardest when you look at the situation of telling a guy, or a woman, you look them in the face and say, you know something, realistically, the reason this is happening, not because of my actions, this is just a reaction to your actions.
Right.
This time, this is an action I should have done a long time ago, and I didn't. Maybe you would have gotten help by now if you would have realized that in the process of doing what you're doing, you're going to lose everything. Maybe you need to lose everything before you come to that realization, but that's your choice. I made my choice, but now I have to sit there and I can no longer respect you at the same time disrespecting myself.
And I think it's just to this point that I finally came, I started listening to myself, and maybe it was my guides, my angels, I don't know, but I listened.
It was. That's what your angel and guide just told me. He said, tell her to acknowledge the whole realm of things, of giving her the strength to do what she did, because it's like you're sitting there doubting it and sometimes worry about it. At the same time, when you were making these decisions, you felt this strength came from somewhere. It's just the idea that now you need to, you need to acknowledge to say, okay, it's like for me, people call me a medium, okay?
Yeah, I don't have that strength.
Yes. And when you look at the situation, angels are there to protect you by giving you the strength to do the actions that you know you need to do.
Well, I'm listening.
I'm just saying, the more you acknowledge them, the more you're going to get clear guidance, the more it's going to be easier to make decisions that you know you need to do from this point on. Because he's got, I mean, there's certain things about these situations people come by, you know, feel sorry for me. And I'll go with what Heather said. In the process of a man who says he's lonely and wants you to feel sorry for him, run like hell. Because basically, to tell you the truth, the victim part is focusing on nothing but it's all about me. Okay? In the sense of the word, he's right. It is all about him, but it's also about you, and he's trying to take that power away from you. But you don't need to focus on yourself. That's a bad thing. You should be helping the victim here, and you're sitting there going, okay, how about this? Boot the ass. Did I help you? Anyway.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. But like I said, if you ever want to come to Manitou Springs and sit down and do some sessions in person, all you got to do is come down. I'll just sit and tell everybody. If you want to give me a call, give me a call at 740-500-8863 or go to our website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. You can check it all out. Or like with our friend here, Joanne, you can come to Manitou Springs, Colorado. That's 946 and a half Manitou Avenue in Manitou Springs, Colorado. It's right next to the Flying Eagle. And it's right between Santa Fe and the Flying Eagle T-shirt shop, and right across from Mushroom Mondays on the main stretch of Manitou Springs that you're coming in. If you see the Mariner, you've gone too far. So just turn around and say, okay, and see the Flying Eagle. If you see the Flying Eagle, I actually have banners out front, and we have the, they're called flags. They have the chakras on them.
Mm-hmm.
Right above right above the whole thing, it says Psychic X Journey Man, but we also just got some new banners in the day where they're like, it's a glow, and it's got the symbols of angels. But it's like one of those things I always recommend for people that if they want a personal experience. I like working with people a lot more in person. Some of not the show here. I feel like we can do a lot of work here, too, and that kind of stuff, too. But sometimes with some of the psychic lines I've worked for, I feel like I'm kind of shackled of what I can and cannot do. But, just show up. It's 946 and a half Manitou Avenue in Manitou Springs, Colorado.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
And I got to tell everybody, I don't care what your budget is. Just figure out what your budget is, and just if you want to do that, just show up, and we'll work with what you got. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Bye bye.
You're welcome. Bye bye. I'm just bouncing all over the place. Let's see. I clicked on something and it didn't click back. Oh, that was not funny. I hate when I click on something and it goes, nope.
Well, that is not what I wanted.
Okay. Here we go. I finally got to work. Okay, area code 510. You're on the route. You're
Hi.
On the air. Welcome. How are you? What's going on?
How good is you? How are you doing?
How am I doing? It's good.
Oh, good.
How about you?
I'm good, but I could be much better.
Oh, that's good. Hey, Heather, you still with us? Heather?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, you said Heather. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, Heather.
I'm here.
Okay, I was like, I didn't hear you, Heather, for a minute. I'm going, oh, shoot. She must have.
I know, me and my son were having a little bit of fun. Sorry about that.
Okay, maybe we don't want to know. Anyway.
Now, behave.
Okay. Well, so do you have a question for us today?
I do. I'm having a difficult time emotionally and somewhat academically in law school, and I'm kind of wondering what's the block. Because it's not like I'm being forced to attend. This is what I want to do, but it's like I do a kind of lost the kind of, like, if there's any holes within yourself, like, holes of fame or whatever, it just kind of magnifies things. So it's kind of, like, tough. I mean, it's more than just tough academically. It's, like, emotionally draining. It's a cultural, it's like a hazing process is what someone said. And it's hard.
Yeah, it's one of those situations of trying to neutralize the freaking emotions.
Yeah.
Realizing they have no bearings here at all because they call the restrictions. And when you get emotional, in the process of even trying to learn, you're putting, what do you call that? You're putting in, when you have emotions, okay, when you allow emotions to come into things that you're trying to accomplish, those emotions are actually, each emotion that you actually express, a chemical is released into your brain. And they have a tendency to keep you from absorbing the knowledge, like for for tests and stuff. Those chemicals have a tendency to also come into your brain too as well and say, they block your memory. So you can't recall information either. So the more calmer you are, the more you can neutralize those emotions, the more successful you can be at accomplishing the epidemic, I can say it. The schooling. Yeah, right. You did make the choices and that stuff. I'm just saying you will be successful as long as you can sit there and realize emotions have no importance until after you accomplish things, and then you can sit there and, you know, celebrating that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But everybody says, how can I neutralize the emotions? But most of them are, what they're actually really saying is, how can I still keep these emotions and still accomplish my goals? Not realizing the emotions need to be neutralized.
Actually, I get to say something. Emotions are very, very important. However, they can distract and deter us from our journey and what we get to accomplish. So, where the importance is we get to feel them, we get to feel that experience, and like the little soul in the sun, we get to know what sadness feels like, or heartache feels like, or joy feels like, or anger. But we only get to have that for a minute. And we can feel that, learn it, be about it, and then set it to the side, step left, and move forward. Okay, so while I agree with Donnie, at the same time, you still get to feel that. Because until you really truly embrace those feelings, allowing those feelings to be, like we were talking earlier about allowing, you get to have that. Just don't wallow in it. And I say that with a giggle because I tend to wallow in those feelings of my own. So, but honestly, just be, and it's again being in tune as well. You get to have that balance. So feel your feelings, feel your emotions, and then get on with it kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, because you look at the situation of anxiety, and when you get nervous and tense and that kind of stuff, a combination of too much thinking and emotions are creating the anxiety because of fear that you might not attain your goal. So when you take the fear and the emotions and neutralize them at that moment, you realize, okay, I got that. I'm being nervous. I do have some fears. You honor that and then tell yourself, how is this serving me right now? It's not. I need to take a test. And you can take the emotion to the side for the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, you always tell yourself, I'm sorry, guys, but this is the way it works. I'm in charge. You're not. That's my ego sitting there saying, remember what happened last time? Feeding into my freaking fears, trying to keep.
Yes, that's how that's exactly how I feel. Remember last time?
Yeah. Yeah, so we sit and look at the situation. What is the ego? Ego is something you have created that you think actually expresses who you are. Now you start to realize this ego you're talking about, this thing you created, is working against you.
Okay.
So you push it back there and say, okay, yeah, I do have a sense of who I am. That's a part of it. But today I'm taking a test. I don't need that part right now.
Okay.
You need to open the channel to the point where you're like, okay, angels, I forgot something. And then it'll help you understand why you forgot it. And then they'll obtain that information for you. I've had a lot of people do that. But they'll say, okay, I forgot something. Okay, angels, I can't, you know, I need that information. All of a sudden, somebody will sit there and say something. Or they'll hear something. It jars that memory. And next thing you know, there it is. Or they'll give it to you. I've come to many avenues. Some people have actually gotten that information very clearly from their angels, saying, this is the answer. They're not helping you cheat. They're giving you something you already knew.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
People say, I'm cheating. Okay, you ever had an open book test?
Yeah.
Angels? Angels is like having an open book test.
Okay.
You know where
but
the information
exactly,
does.
You still have to know the material, or you'll do worse on an open book. Because you can waste time. So, yeah, that makes that's a good analogy.
Yeah, because we're sitting there saying, okay, you know, realistically, when you do an open book test, you know where the information is at, and you go right to it. So the angels are just saying, you already got the information in your head. We're just going to guide you to get there, or we're going to give it to you, and you're going to go later on, you're going to go, oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah.
But you did.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, both.
Oh, you're welcome.
Have a good night.
You have a fantastic weekend.
Oh, thank you. Okay. You both, too. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see, area code 386. Welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name?
Yes. Hi. Jaden and Mr. Sheena.
How's it going?
It's actually going pretty good. I wanted to ask you a really important question we dealt with. Well, I am helping my younger brother out. He's a teenager, and I basically took him in because his mother was kind of having a hard time. She was a single parent, and we were kind of living from place to place, and the last couple of years in high school, ninth grade, and so I kind of let him come and live with me, and I really... his mother says it's going to be for a couple months. I just really don't know how it's going to turn out, whether it's going to be a good thing for him, you know, how long is it going to be, because I can't just go by what his mom is saying. But I'm kind of guessing, I was thinking that, you know, I don't know if she's going to be able to, you know, get her shit or her stuff together, you know, very quickly, or if it's going to be a while.
It's okay to say shit. That's what the shit's all about, right? Anyway. So what you're saying is you're having a tough time believing the source.
Yes.
So therefore you're looking at the situation a little differently.
Right.
If you see
some things
different with him, I think you should trust your intuition on this, you know? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I guess my question to you is, like, how do you see this working out? Like, is it a good thing or bad thing? Like, I want everything to go smoother. I know he's a good kid, but, you know, I'm 28 and he's 16. It's like I'm not trying to be a mother, just a big sister, and I have my own kid, too. So I'm kind of, you know, and do you see it being good or negative?
So what's his worst thing he's ever done?
What's he ever done? Well, he was with a friend a couple of years ago, and they were stealing in the mall. He got caught, and was kind of one of those things where, you know, his friend was doing it, everybody else was doing it. And but other than that, he's a good kid. Like, they get good grades. He plays. He's more into sports.
Mm-hmm. I see. No, I was just
I'm not concerned about his behavior. I just want to know if it's a good, you know, situation. If it's, everything's mm-hmm. going to run smoothly, you know, and not be too much stress on me.
I'll tell you the truth. I look at the situation. It keeps coming off to me as a bad idea. Seems like No, I just see a person that you just see a lot more trouble coming. And the idea of actually being able to confront it and deal with it and that kind of stuff on a way that you really like to, I just don't see that you will be able to do that. It seems like he's. I just feel like I'm not saying he's not a good person in this situation, but he does seem to be very influential by other people. And I see with the situation of the responsibilities you already have, I can see why you would want to do this. I keep seeing pictures of my sister when I did this, too. I actually got custody of my sister because she was a year older. She still is. She's a year older than my daughter. And I thought it would be a great thing. You know, they have sisters and they have that freaking income. But the first time you come home and there's five cruisers around your house because your sister has created a bunch of stuff and the idea. And then every other week we were in court for something she was doing. The one thing that got me the most, it really irritated me the most, was we went to Kmart. And I used to wear this big jacket. It's like a people in construction work, and they're Cartwright jackets and stuff. So we go in there, and I'm looking for a ring for a girl. At the time, I was thinking about getting married, and I was looking at rings and stuff. Didn't realize my sister was actually putting jewelry in my pockets.
Oh, wow.
Which I walked out of the freaking place with. And then as soon as I got to the car, she was like, oh, I need to get something out of your jacket. Like, what? And I would freak me out. She did this, and I had no idea why she was all so preoccupied with anything else. I was like, oh, this just really irritates the shit out of me. But on the first note, she was always getting herself in trouble, and there was a couple of times where it was a mistake, and I saw the mistake for what it was, and it was just something that needed to be corrected, but they took her to JDC. She was locked up, and the first chance she got, she escaped. So I had to deal with that. On top of the idea, it was kind of funny. We get to court, and the judge goes, we found out there was a mistake, that you shouldn't have gone to JDC, but you could have made things worse because you escaped from there. But since we figured out the situation wasn't your fault, it was a mistake, they didn't push the other part, but they could have. So it's one of those things where impatient people, so I have to see my situation, yours, you can see some impatience with him too.
Yeah, I'm very impatient, and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, I just feel like you have a life, and there are certain things that we would like to do, and I get this one. It was one of those things that there has to be a better way in the process of what wouldn't infringe on your own life. I understand what you're saying. It's your brother. But
yeah, I mean, I'm not afraid to hear the truth. I I need to because I need to process this and make a decision on what I want to do. Because really, it's like I kind of felt like his mom was trying to get rid of all the kids because she wanted to go run off and do drugs or whatever, and this was going to be her chance to go get all the way out there as long as she knows that, you know, people have their kids. So,
that's true too.
He's just getting in high school, so I'm like, is this a bad idea? And then we share the same dad. We have different mothers, and we share the same dad. And it's like, you know, I want to know, you know, if dad's going to be more participative, because the plan was for him to stay here temporary and then and then my dad will provide, you know, for him while he's here, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I get a lot of...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just feel like I have a lot of infractions here from certain people who are not going to follow up, and you're going to be carrying the whole thing.
Wow.
Also, the situation came to me, too, was he, like, the combination of her having her kids will keep from her putting herself in a situation where she would wind up dead.
Wow.
So you can actually look at the situation that you're actually different from.
I don't want my brother to be in that with her. I don't want him to end up getting hurt with her.
Mm-hmm. No, the thing I see the most is the idea of him being in the picture, where she won't allow herself to gravitate to the situation that would cause that.
Mm-hmm. Because she says to me,
mm-hmm.
She says she's going to, like, you know, she's like, I'm not going to let you, you know, I'm going to play my part. I'm going to pull my weight. You know, I'm going to do this while he's there. I'm going to, you know, give you money while he's there and blah, blah, blah. So I'm not sure if I believe her.
He doesn't need money. What he needs is attention. He needs the support, and he also needs somebody to motivate him to do some things that he can really do. I mean, sure, you look at a guy who's very creative and very talented, and he's someone to focus on those situations. He doesn't need somebody. So what you were saying before about her realistically shrugging her responsibility, she didn't want to deal with the kids. And that's, I've seen my dad do this too. Give him money, get rid of him.
Yep, that's what my dad is.
Send him some money. And then after that whole situation happened, then he tried to get out of the situation of paying nothing to the point where you get tired of someone saying, I'm going to show up. I'm going to do this. I'll do this. I'll pick up this weekend. I'll send you some money. I'll take care of this. And then it just never happened.
So basically, you see, because my dad is like that, too. Like, he bought him a $200 pair of sneakers, and then I called him this weekend and said, well, we need to get his clothes washed. My dad never showed up. So basically, see, his mom and my dad doing the same thing to him, and you don't feel like I can give him that motivation and attention.
It's not the idea you can't. It's just the idea you have your own responsibility. You have your own child. And realistically, if you look at the situation, they need to take care of theirs, just like you are.
Right.
People are putting the situation on you, so, well, since she can take care of the kids, she's really good at this. So let's give her our kid. But the situation, if you look at your father, I mean, he's trying to compensate for the things he hasn't done by giving this kid $200 pair of shoes. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What freaking kid needs $200 pair of shoes? I'll give him credit. That kind of balances out, doesn't it? It's $100 per shoe. But,
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I just bought a pair of shoes for $72. But, you know, it's one of those situations. It's something that I needed, I liked, I wanted. I just get this situation with these two giving him money to compensate for the things they really don't want to do. And with that kind of lack of responsibility, they can't be depended upon to take on the responsibility of this child. Because realistically, what you're doing, what you got to do, and having your own life and that kind of stuff like that too as well, they just fail one time. It could set a strong ripple to your own life. And then in the process of taking care of their responsibility, you can't really honestly do your responsibility to 100% to the team. You just can't. Because your attention is being pulled in so many directions. And I just feel like right now your child needs more, and he needs your full attention.
Yeah, I have a daughter.
Later.
Yeah.
I'm
my,
sorry.
My
I'm
daughter.
Just saying, it's like your daughter seems to have a little, has a really strong masculine energy. She's very, I don't know, maybe she's very demanding. Either way it goes, she needs your full attention. And realistically, masculine energy around you that I would feel like, with that kind of energy, I would feel like you would probably have a child in the next year.
And you see someone like coming in and it's new.
You're not in a relationship right now, right?
No, I'm not at all. I mean, I'm just
letting it change before you. It says, this is what comes to me. It says somebody coming in your life and the idea of having a relationship before June and also having a baby soon after.
Mm.
So it's one of those situations that when you have this kind of energy going on, somebody could actually come in your life as another guy. But if you're not focusing completely on the situation, you might not see him for who he is, which he's not the one, but he will definitely try to get in. You know, you're a very positive person in some sense of the word. You have a certain kind of energy about yourself. You do attract certain kind of people. But I just feel like you're going to attract a really good guy into your life. It's going to change a lot of things. And I'm not saying you should shrug your brother for the idea of having a life of your own. You're not doing that realistically. What you're doing is saying, I have a life of my own. And this guy needs his parents, not his sister.
Mm.
Because of the situation, right. What's going to happen is you're going to have a lot of... I get the impression there could be arguments where he thinks you're trying to be his mother. This is another freaking issue of a person who is wanting one. He'll get angry at the person who tries to step in. Doesn't matter what his mother's done or who she is. It's the ideal. It's the only one he has.
So, okay, how long should I give her? Because, like, I'm going to give her a certain amount of time to get her, you know, SHIT together. But while her son is here, it's like she collects benefits. And, you know, it's not going to go down like that. You're not going to push off your responsibilities on me and then be getting the benefits of him actually being there. But he's not there. He's in my home. You know what I mean? And then she's like, well, I'll do this and I'll do that. And it's like, no, it's not going to go that way. You need to, you know, make sure that I get temporary custody. Because the thing is, the other thing that I was going to ask about is that while he's here now, that I know that it's not going to work out long term. It's just going to be a temporary, and that's what it was supposed to be. And my dad was just kind of saying, well, I'll help, you know, and he didn't even show up today or whatever. So it's like two sorry parents. You know, and I don't mind because he's my brother, but I just don't want to end up having issues down the road with him. So while he was here, or whatever the thing is that my dad, he collects Social Security. Any minor children that he has can, you know, is eligible for that benefit, you know. And so to cut out, yes. So to cut out his mom and my dad saying, well, I'll give you this and I'll give you that or whatever, and having to depend on them to do it, like he's eligible for benefits. I was just wondering, do you see me being able to do that for him on my own, like us going to the office and because of who my father is and he gets it, who our father is, that I can do, this is something I can do on my own while he's here with me because, you know, I hate to depend on people when they say, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and then they never show up. So I start to thinking, well, you know what, maybe I can get him some benefits because, like, if me and my older brother, if we were underage, if we were a minor, we could get benefits too just because my father does. So.
Yeah, but you also got to realize your father has custody of you too, so they probably put you in the same room, the whole thing. So I feel like, I think you will have to have custody of your brother in order to do that.
That
or at
I
least
would
a piece of paper with power return
or
to yourself.
Or my father. Or my
What's
father
that?
Would have to have custody.
No, you would have to have custody since you're the ones asking for benefits to take care of him.
Okay, and they would grant him benefits just because my father gets it.
I keep getting more likely. It's a crazy situation in some sense or two. That you might have to go through some situations why the parents can't deal with it and can't do it. That's what I was talking about before. About having custody and stuff. It wouldn't hurt to go down and find out for sure. Go find what you can
right.
do, okay? I'm just saying, go down, do what you got to do, find out all the things you can do. You know, and that, I'm just telling flat out, he is in your care, and realistically, the parents are not doing anything. And that you want to sit there and keep it in the family, so therefore, trying to get some insights on what you should do and what's in the best interest of him.
Right, because you're not a lawyer. I'm sorry to put all that on you, but I just was wanting
no,
to know.
It's okay.
Like,
I'm going through the situation. I'm going through a lot of things with my ex-wife, my mother, my mom and dad got divorced. and just seeing some of the things you can and cannot do. My daughter, no, my ex-wife actually filed for SSI, but she had custody of the child. She had custody of my youngest daughter, so she just went and did that whole thing, which was really, she went and filed for SSI, stating she had a learning disability. And that girl does not have a learning disability, except for she has a, never mind. Anyway, need to deal with that one, huh? Well, a releasement there. It's just the idea. I really get tired of her exploiting everyone and everything and the idea of getting money. But I feel like in your situation, I think it's just one of those things where you're just asking for compensation to help with the situation that you've been put into, because you don't want to, you definitely realistically want to help your brother. And you also see how these people are because you've had to deal with them too. So I still feel like you have to have custody in order to get those benefits for him. I might be wrong. That's what I'm saying. You go check it out. But I'm just saying, I don't think it'd be a problem if you had to.
I think my dad was trying to say he has to have, like, he has to be under the custody of my dad to get those benefits. You know what I mean? I think that's what they were, that he, my dad thinks. And I'm like, well, if I have him in my household, that makes no sense for my dad to have legal custody, and then, you know, he would try and go and get benefits for my brother when he's in my household. So I'm thinking, you know.
I wouldn't trust that situation, that your dad would be able to get benefits for him. Because if he got benefits for him, I just get the impression he would take them.
Right, yeah.
You would be stuck there with a child. I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying you'd be there with him. You would have to sit and take all the responsibilities. And I just feel like he would have it some way where he would have a lot of money. He would get the money and say that he's, since he's a, you know, a guardian or whatever, or his father, but he has the right to determine where that money goes and doesn't go. I'm just saying, see, I do. I would go down there and tell him that, I would tell him everything. These two people can be trusted in the ideal situation. I'm just trying to figure out. It might be crazy. I'm just saying, go down and check it out, because there could be a lot of variables in the situation of two people, you know, who actually has custody of the child.
But once, and that's not fair or whatever, because, like, I had a talk with her or whatever, and I'm like, I just want you to play your part. And then I have a feeling that when I go to ask her, because she's like, I'll do temporary custody, which is, I guess that's fine or whatever, if it allows me to, like, I had to sign papers today for his school or whatever, and because I'm not the legal guardian, I still have to somehow get those papers over to her and have her to sign them. If I was the guardian, temporary guardian, then guardianship, then I could have signed those papers and sent them back to school and not worried about her. But I have a feeling that when I ask her that, she's going to throw a fit because my dad them asked her, and she's like, I'm not going to do that. So, I mean, how do you see that going when I tell her, look, I need to have, you know, temporary custody for him, and I need to be the one getting the benefits for him if he's in my household for whatever time being he's here? Like, how do you
see him
be adding to that?
No, I was going to say before, you need to go down there and talk to them about the whole situation, the idea why you can do that. Because it's the idea of finding information out how you can take those, because she has a drug, you say she has a drug problem?
Well, yeah, and she tries to hide it. She thinks that everybody else is stupid and they don't know what's going on. And I was the first one to call it, and I told my dad that that's what she was trying to do. She was trying to get rid of all her kids so she can have a reason to just go off into the sunset. And she's telling, running game on me and telling me, oh, no, it's only going to be a couple of months. And I just feel like it's going to be longer than that. And I'm giving her, like, a time period. You know, if it's more than 6 months, then, you know, I mean, I want to start this right away as far as the custody and the benefits, but I'm giving her 6 months to get her shit together.
I will get on her Monday.
Like, even 3 months. But you think she's lying to me? You don't think that she will ever, like, try and get him back? You think she just came and dropped him off and is going to leave him.
She only wants to retain temporary custody so she can get money, the money that you'll never see because it's going to go toward drugs. She's always looking for ways to have more money to obtain the ideal, the, I don't know if you want to call it a habit or addiction or all the above. I'm just saying that's what I see with her. It's just a person with a ploy of trying to get these things the way she wants them, that kind of stuff like that. That's what I'm saying. I was hoping to go down there and find out how you can get custody of this child, sole custody, because I see that once that happens, that's what to me, that's why I was sitting and questioned the whole thing anyway, because I see it happening where he'll be with you for six months to a year.
And she'll be getting benefit? Mm-mm.
If
no.
you don't do something soon, she will take the initiative to get the benefit for the job.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna talk to her Monday because I will go down there to DCF and I will talk to those people. I will tell those people how she just took him and dropped him off to my house and she's still getting benefits for him. I don't care how pissed off she gets at me because then I'll lock her behind up. You know what I mean? I'm not the type of person that lay down and take stuff, but I'm just like wondering, is it all worth it? Do I need to stress over, you know, this kid, this poor kid is still just entering high school, you know, hopping from place to
yep.
place to place to place to place to place to place.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I mean, it is a tough situation or whatever. This is life-changing for me. I don't even have a man. You know, I need to get my SHIT together. There's things I want to do, and I'm not in it for the money because no amount of money or whatever is worth having to have a teenager in my home.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But that's very nasty for a mother to drop her kid off here. When, you know, when I didn't answer my phone, it's like she just came and just dropped him off here. My dad was just going berserk. He was like, "That it ain't right," and blah, blah, blah. And so I'm like, I know. And then, but for her to still be getting the benefits, you know what I mean? And I'm just taking care of her kid. That's not fair. How can you do something like that? Because you want to go run off. You know, it's just that. It's that. And I never thought that I would be 28 and he would be 16, you know, 16, and I would be raising him all over again because when he was small, it was like that. I was still in school babysitting him, and we tried to drop him off back home. We couldn't find her. And then now here he is years later again, and I'm like, man, I got to have some kind of, like I don't know if God's trying to bless me or whatever the case, but I have to be blessed for this because I'm such a good person with a good heart, and I let people just do this to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Go down there Monday, find out what you can, you know, do, and then make it happen.
Honey, the reason that they do this to you is because you allow it. Please don't take that the wrong way. I'm the same way. I get my little brother came to me.
I already know that.
So you have to set boundaries, okay? Because I know you want to. I know that you love your little brother and you want to take care of him and you want to make sure he's safe and he's okay and hopefully on the right track to having a positive, productive, happy life. But at the same time, you have to set your boundaries for your world and your space. And so I would first and foremost set them with him and let him know what is allowed and what is not allowed in your home. And then yes, I would talk to his mother. Definitely.
Yeah.
Stand your ground. Stand up for you and your life and in your space. But remember, you don't have to allow people to treat you that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I have every intention of standing my ground. It was just kind of like, it was like emergency. Like, it was like, okay, drop him off. And then she knew that I had potential to go off on her because I could tell the look on her face, like, how this is just last minute. And, you know, you don't just do that or whatever. But I have every intention to stand my ground, but I just feel like it's going to be a fight. It's going to be more fighting. It's going to be more arguing because I'm going to stand my ground. And just like I told my friend, I said, well, she's doing me like that. She tried to do my dad like that. She tried to drop him off over there, and my dad said he wasn't having it. Take him back. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't want my child, but you can't just do that to me. And so she did it to me thinking that, you know, I'm going to not say anything or she was going to be able to get over on me. But at that moment, because he was there and he's watching everything, I just kind of was like, okay, you know, let me smile this off or whatever. But then eventually I'm going to get right to business, and I think that she knows that, and it's going to hit her. Well, she may not know it, but it's going to hit her out of nowhere, and she may be a little upset with me, but she doesn't realize that I'm a grown woman now, so there's, you know, nothing that she can tell me that'll make me feel like I should have her kid and she should not be responsible, because right now I'm really feeling like that, you know, I can just call her and tell her, you know, you got a month or two to get your shit together, and if you don't come and get him, if you absolutely refuse to come and get him, I'm going to DCF. I'm going to the Department of Children and Families, and I have to.
I would do it
I'm
right
not
away,
allowed
too.
To do it right away, yeah. Okay.
I would do that, yes. Because obviously if she's pushing him off on other people and she's getting benefits, there's no reason for that.
So when I go down there, do you see her, like, cooperating or coming to get him? I mean, what do you see happening? Because I'm just interested to see, you know how this will unfold. This is just beyond what I've ever experienced.
She's going to still sit on me, but that's not...
She's going to what?
She's going to throw a fit. She's going to be very upset. But that doesn't matter. That's irrelevant because she is not taking care of her responsibilities, period. So she's going to have to face up to her consequences, and she's not going to like it. None of us do. But that's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you
okay,
get to hold her accountable.
Mm-hmm.
When you say she's going to throw a fit, does that mean that she's going to throw a fit and then do what she needs to do, or she's going to throw a fit and come and get in?
Donnie, what do you see?
I guess impression she's going to be... I just get the impression she's going to want to make a throw a fit because she wants the money, but I see that she's going to still try to figure out leaving with you.
That's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have too many people, there's too many witnesses that knows that she just dropped her kid off here. So I'll have a school of people in court with me testifying, and I'll take it all the way to court. I'm not a weak little chickling. I'm not that, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of where he landed, and so, you know, her daughter was here, her daughter, not my dad's child, but her daughter was here before he was, and I had to tell her, look, get your shit, you and your kids, and get out. And
mm-hmm.
I didn't feel bad at all, and then, you know, I said, if there's anything that I would do for anybody, it would be for my biological brother. And then my dad, it's like I'm kind of pissed off at my dad because it's like he's like, well, this is what I was thinking about. I was going to talk to you about it, but, you know, I was thinking about, you know, you possibly getting your brother and me, you know, making sure he's straight fine. Does that still put your responsibilities off? You know,
mm-hmm.
it don't matter, $200-$400 a month, they're still putting you right. You're going to fuss at me for him dropping her off, but you don't want to take responsibility either. So it feels
mm-hmm.
like I'm the only one that's being the adult in this situation, and I don't get no credit at all. You know, my dad talks to me like, you know, it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get credit, you know, like, not that I want it or whatever, or, you know, I don't take praise to, you know, I'm not, but acknowledge the fact that, you know, I'm doing something to help somebody out. Acknowledge that, appreciate that. That's all I want to do, is be appreciated. And neither one of them, I don't feel like, appreciates it. His mother don't. She says she does. And my dad, he's just, you know, he's just going to continue to be him and do his own thing. But it's like he made me mad because this is, was his idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to feel like it was his idea so he can get some money and leave me stuck with his kid. And that's very messed up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a trick for all of them, and they'll just have to be mad. It ain't a damn thing they can do to me about it. Either get your kid,
mm-hmm.
you know, handle your responsibilities,
yeah.
or don't say anything to me about what I choose to do with this kid, because you guys just drop them off and don't want them, you know, and it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
And he really is a good kid. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Just stand your ground. Set your boundaries. Stand your ground. It'll be okay. It sounds like you're a very smart woman.
It's easier said than done, though. I mean,
I know.
Like, try to volunteer.
Well, try to keep your emotions out of this situation. Just try to set your emotions to the side. And then you can accomplish everything logically and legally. And there's, you know, without emotion in there, it makes it easier to accomplish those things. In this kind of situation, our emotions tend to get us in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. Mm. So, other than him, you know, getting into some trouble, you know, all that teenagers get into, I mean, I just kind of feel like I don't want to go through all of it now, you know. I want for her mm-hmm. to stand up to her responsibilities, and, you know, I'm going to definitely do what you guys said, is go down there as soon as possible and find out what I can and can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Make some phone calls and then talk to the mom
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And I just hate dealing with her because she's so ignorant.
All right. I'll just say, yeah, do that kind of stuff. And then you'll know where you can, what you can and cannot do. Plus, and I was going to say, if you have one more question, because we've got to get going.
Okay.
I would have to go.
Right.
Literally have to go.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. You have a great weekend, okay?
You too.
Bye-bye. Hello?
Hello?
How are you doing?
I'm okay. You sound a little sleepy.
Yeah, it seems like sitting still for a minute. Guess who's up?
All right. Well, it sounds like we get to wrap this up.
Yes, we do. So, therefore, let's wrap it up. Say thank
right.
you, everybody, for showing up, all the callers, everybody who's listening. And we'll be here tomorrow night, Saturday, 8 p.m., Mountain Time, also Sunday. And then we'll be off Monday and Tuesday, which I'm going to sleep in 2 days. Anyway, I've been everywhere. I've been everywhere, man. Okay. On that note, I'm going to... You got to try to do... Let me ask that question.
What?
Okay. You gonna be here tomorrow night or?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll take